out. You gotta put it in perspective.
Yes, Commissioner.
I'm very sorry to disturb you, but this is very important. Now listen very carefully.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Hey, boy!
4, 5, 6.
VIP!
I like Kevin and Bean. I think they're funny. I think they are a kick. I think they're a lark. I know that they've mentioned me time to time on the show, and I love it.
There's no upside. There's nothing positive that comes out of them, in my opinion. It outweighs the risk that we're putting our kids in.
I think there is definitely a sense of disappointment.
I just got off of work, and then I got high. Ooh, I was listening to Kevin and Bean, and then I got high. I called the Afro line. I don't know why, but man, because I got high. Because I got high.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
100 million% yes.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I disagree with everything you've said.
Roll another one.
I said nothing.
Just like the other. This one seems to be a problem, quit.
You need to go right away.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Now, that's positive thing.
Roll another one.
Tell me you're not serious.
Just like.
I am serious, and don't come short.
The
human sin to me.
I don't have another sin.
Wild women, the wild women, the ripping and tearing, the ripping and the tearing.
Yeah, what a cool song.
Just pass it around.
What the hell is wrong with you, black man?
God, I hate you so much.
And now.
And then you heard, I don't know.
Our feature presentation.
Exactly, Rodney. Exactly. I'm there, buddy.
I'm there every day.
Why not pick the phone and give us a call and be on the Kevin and Bean Show? That'll be something different. A great way to start Friday at 1-800-520-1067. You give us a call, you get on the air, and you get a prize. That's how we do it every day at this time, the Kevin and Bean Show. So, Elizabeth Edwards' funeral is tomorrow. She is the wife of the late senator and presidential candidate.
You don't have a chunk on that, do you?
I do. And your friends, Kevin, at the Westboro Baptist Church are protesting.
Oh, my God.
That's what you need when you're at your mom's funeral is to see the God hates fags guys out there with their signs protesting at the church, right?
Those guys are
unbelievable. I'm sure many people listening heard about them, but if you have, I mean, it's just this crazy group about, I don't know, there's like 25 people in the church. I think they're all related. I think they're all part of Fred Phelps and his family. And there's no one more hateful in the world. And it's crazy that they call themselves Christians.
Right.
And I'm sure the Baptists don't endorse what they do, even though they say they're the Westboro Baptist Church.
Not even close.
And the reason I bring this up is because I heard an interview yesterday with Fred's daughter, Shirley, who's one of the chief spokespeople for the cause. And, you know, they say the reason they're doing it is because, the United States and the military embraces homosexuality, and that's why those people all deserve to go to hell. And they have a very strict and literal and, most folks think, wrong interpretation of the Bible. You can't do the things that you do and claim to be a religious person.
Right.
It just doesn't make any sense. So I'm listening to this guy on the radio who's interviewing Shirley Phelps. And, he's trying to talk some sense into her, which is impossible because they're crazy. And, you know, you could also argue, why does anyone ever give them the attention? Because if we just ignored them, they would go away.
Well,
they wouldn't accomplish what they're trying to do, which is to get people angry,
and
right?
And we've talked to them, too. And it really, there's no logic. There's no reasoning. It's just hate.
So the DJ that I'm listening to, he's interviewing, talk show host I'm listening to, interviewing them, and he says, there are a lot of really bright people, rabbis, priests, and Shirley interrupts and she says, oh, rabbis that like rape your kids, priests like rape your kids, is that what you mean?
Because all of them do?
And he's, of course, and he's exasperated. He's like, all right, ministers, and she said, rape your kids, and he's like, Shirley, and then she says, And I can't believe I'm hearing these words come out of her mouth during this interview about this very, very important topic. Then she says, hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your husband, because they rape everybody up in
she
here.
She did not say that.
And my head almost came off of my body. I did a double take so much that I almost dislocated something.
She didn't say that.
Yes.
Because that's awesome.
Did. And I thought, how does this woman in, where are they, in Wichita?
I don't know. Midwest.
I think they're West Virginia.
No. They're in Kansas.
I don't know.
They're in Kansas.
You're right. You might be.
And ups to our Kansas affiliate, by the way.
Big
love
ups.
You guys. KF. But, so she says that I'm thinking, how does this woman who lives, you know, lives this hateful existence, how does she know about Antoine Dodson and the Bed Inbreeder? Why in a million years would she be in a radio, an AM radio station in Seattle quoting, hide your kids, hide your wife, raping everybody up here?
I don't know, but I love it.
It was so out of the blue. It just blew me away. I just couldn't even believe I was here. I haven't laughed so hard at anything on the show ever as I did at that yesterday.
And especially considering the position that you start in with her is really hatred. And you don't say that about very many people. A lot of people can drive you crazy or whatever. It's really hard to find people who you hate sort of everything about, you know? And they go and they protest military funerals. I mean, it's unbelievable.
I mean, this is not a woman who you just have a difference of opinion with.
Right.
This is a woman who is fundamentally wrong and evil. And you don't expect any kind of levity or humor out of her. But wouldn't you have just died a little bit if you heard that? I mean,
my head would have exploded as well.
That's exactly what happened.
It's crazy.
So apparently, Antoine Dodson has made it to every single person in America, because if the Phelps family knows about the Bed Intruder, everybody knows about the Bed Intruder.
He's slamming your windows, he's snatching your people off, trying to rape them so young. Had your kids, had your wife, had your kids, had your wife, had your kids, had your wife, and had your husband, because they're raping everybody out here.
Did she see the original story? Did she hear the remix?
I have no idea.
Don't you remember the Lady Gaga song? She did like Sinner Face to Poker Face. Something. Don't you remember that?
Oh, yeah. That was horrible.
I think like every couple weeks, she just randomly grabs something in like the pop culture the that's hot in the media and tries to apply it to hatred.
Maybe so. Yeah. Maybe so. But anyway, so now I have 0.1% respect for Shirley Phelps.
No,
just because
you don't.
Of that. That's the only part. Just that tiny little part
she
of her.
She stumbled
like
into it.
Not for her. All right. Good times. 1-800-520-1067. That is our number. If you want to get on the air right now and get a prize, hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Apparently, one of these imaginary Kevin and Bean T-shirts is the prize that we are giving away, so you can wear that when you ride your unicorn. Let's try Jonathan on line 3. Hey, Jonathan, thanks for calling and welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do? What it do, baby boo?
What's going on?
Oh, it's good. It's fine. Thank you.
I went on a date last night. Everything was good until I stole the tip I left.
Wait, you left a tip on the table and then your date stole it?
She stole it.
So you got up to leave the table first, and she was lagging behind a few seconds, and you turned around and looked, and she was scooping your cash off the table.
She was putting money in her pocket. I look at the table, and the money was gone.
How much was the tip?
It was like $12.
That's amazing. That's incredible. So did you say something?
I couldn't. I didn't know what to do.
You gotta say something. You gotta walk out of there and stiff your server.
No, but yeah. Hey, that's what I'm talking about. No, but it would take you a minute to kind of get your head around it, like to understand. Wait a minute, she just took the tip off the table. I don't know that I would be able to say what you would want to say right away. You know, you gotta process it.
So,
did you go back and leave more money or no?
Well, no, I
just left.
I felt like if I would have put more money, then she'd know I fired.
No. Wow. So what happened after that? You never brought it up. How was the rest of the date?
The drive back was a little awkward.
Sure.
Was that a deal breaker for you? Will you now not go out with her again?
You tell me. What do I do?
You don't go out with her again.
Well, hold on a second.
Wait, is she hot?
Binky, is she hot? We got to ask first. And how likely is she to have sex with you?
She's not a 10, and if I took in a couple more days, she would sleep with me.
Wait, she's not a 10, but is she a 9?
I'd say an 8.
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, just what you got to do is you have to figure in two tips, right? You put you put a tip on.
Wait a minute.
Then I feel like I'm going to be paying for sex.
All right, but okay. I'm saying, but so you put $12 down, and then, you know, you start leaving. You go, oh, I forgot something, and you go back and you put your other $12 down.
Okay,
this is not long term, mind you. But
yeah,
she's
I don't know,
high.
Dude. I don't know. I think you got to hit that. But I also think you blew it by not saying something last night. I think you should have said, oh, you know what? I'm sorry if there was a misunderstanding, but I meant to leave that for the server or something. But I understand you were shocked by it.
Misunderstanding.
Well, I'm trying to give the woman, you know, save face with the date. I mean, you don't want to come out and say, you thief.
You know what? But I did put the tip down on the table. I did give you some cash, but I was hoping that maybe you would leave some of it for the... There's no way to say that. She stole the tip.
I know she did, and she knows she did. I'm just saying, so that it doesn't turn into a very awkward situation. You don't just, you know, wring her neck or anything.
Jonathan, I would say you try to hit it as fast as you can.
And then get out.
And then get out.
Will do.
Like maybe today.
Will do.
You know what I mean? Today or tomorrow. And then...
And next time you guys go out, she buys too, by the way.
No, then you got to get to her wallet. Like if she's in the bathroom or something, you got to get your $12 back.
All right.
And then you got to go back to the restaurant because that guy got stiffed.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Good work. All right, dude. Thank you for calling, Jonathan. Have a great weekend.
Wow, that's weird.
That is weird.
Can you imagine? All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and B Show, shall we?
You look so pretty.
We're going to have to do we're going to have to do that topic sometime.
People first date deal breakers? Oh, steel tips, yeah.
Steel tips. Man. We got Petros Papadakis in the studio today talking college football and all other sports. We have Adam West, TV's Batman. He's got an art gallery show. You know
that's
that?
That's Carolla. Yeah, I haven't seen his artwork. I don't know what he does.
I haven't either. But, you know, Ralph worships him.
Sure.
And so
as do I.
We all kind of get a pass on the people that we worship, as does Bean. That's true, yeah. And he's always funny. So we're going to have him.
I love Adam West. I don't care what he's selling. I'm buying.
We have Mark Wahlberg on the show today. He, of course, is the lead in The Fighter.
He's the good vibrations guy, right?
Yeah, let's not bring
that
up.
The Funky Bunch, right? That's the same? Okay.
Right. I think he's trying to leave that behind.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought that was the last thing he did.
No. He's done a lot of movies. He is The Fighter, so we're going to talk to him today. We have the movie beat. Ralph will be here. We have Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage. Apparently, Psycho Mike has made a new song, which is going to be great. I can't wait for that.
Why? Do we feel that maybe one of us is a victim this time?
And by maybe one of us, I mean me.
It's all happy. That's all happy.
It's all happy.
Everything's happy about this song.
All right, good. And we also have tickets to the In the Pit for the 21st annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. And we're going to tell you about that coming up in about 20 minutes. So we'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. That is next.
Oh, I don't know. Just tickets in the pit for both nights of the Almost Acoustic Christmas concert this weekend. That's all I'm saying. Just got those to give away. And we'll tell you how you can earn them coming up in about 10 minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You know, we get emails all the time, phone calls, AfroLine calls saying, you don't understand. I have to go. Well, today's the day to prove that. Today's the day you can win them and be there for both nights this weekend. Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on, man?
Oh, this is just great.
Yes.
It's Friday.
Yes.
Got the big concert coming up this weekend.
Right.
Good stuff coming around.
Right.
Yes. The holiday season. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Right.
And the tree is up. The decorations are hung by the chimney with care.
Sure.
However.
Nothing.
Oh, it sounds like there's going to be
a fresh cup of coffee in my hand.
A giant disappointment coming.
There is usually a, but.
On the few times of the year, I'm actually actually just in a good mood. Just cruising towards the end of the year. We get a little time off there after the
And the Eagles have a guaranteed win this weekend. You don't have to sweat
that game. Not at all. Dallas is playing better than they have all season. All of a sudden, they're looking to play the spoiler.
But they're still the Cowboys.
Look, Dallas is playing tough now. So
all right.
Nothing's guaranteed. That's the only problem is we got the big concert Sunday night. Dallas Philly is a Sunday night game.
Yeah, but. Skinny Rip Boss Man is a huge Cowboys fan. You know he'd have
Hoping he's going to have the TV up someplace backstage where we can gather around.
I'm hoping Saturday night he has the GSP fight.
Oh, yeah, right.
And then also Sunday night the football
game. That's George St. Pierre for those of you who don't follow MMA.
I'm trying to figure out how to watch. I'm trying to figure out how to watch Dexter on my iPhone backstage on Sunday night. The Dexter finale. Can't wait for that.
That can be TiVo'd.
Yeah.
That's not in the same league. You're not understanding what I'm saying.
I understand.
Can't TiVo a sporting event and then watch it afterwards? That's the
same
impact.
Can, but it's impossible to miss the spoiler alert on that. You're right.
Yeah.
I remember leaving that Christmas concert and somebody telling me that Mike Tyson bit Evander Holyfield in the fight. And I was like, that's ridiculous. That's no way. Like, I just couldn't get my head around it. That was that night.
Chunk owe his ear.
Yeah. We've put the sporting events up backstage before.
And also, tonight, Kevin Smith and I are doing our show up at Universal City Walk at the John Lovitz Theater. And at 8 o'clock, Babylon Ralph or BabylonKev.com. You can get all the details. But Psycho Mike's going to be there, and the King of Mexico's going to be there. It's going to be fun. So I got a great weekend ahead of me. I'm very excited.
Fantastic.
I got Batman on the show today. Adam West is going to be on the show.
You do have everything you need.
Come on!
That's true.
It's a good day to be me. Not a good day to be John Leslie, porn legend John Leslie.
Who's that?
John Leslie was the leading man of the 80s in porn. He was the dude.
In the 80s?
Big, strapping, dark-haired, tall, handsome leading man.
Giant mustache?
No. Never rocked a mustache to the best of my knowledge.
Okay.
He was gifted where it counted as an adult film actor.
Sure.
He starred in one of my favorites of all time, Talk Dirty to Me, which gave birth to many, many sequels. He was the first porn star to cross over into directing. Started to become a director late in his career.
What happened
to him? He passed away.
Oh.
At the age of 65 years old, apparent heart attack. Hmm. Leaves behind a wife of 23 years, by the way.
You mean he's been married 23 years or she's 23 years old?
They've been married for 23 years, yeah. So it just goes to show you, man.
Wow.
Anything's possible.
You know, the number of male porn stars that are recognizable by name has got to be less than 10, right?
Well, it depends on who you are.
Unless you're Psycho Mike.
Well, me and Psycho Mike, you probably rattle off about 100.
Yeah, very, very few really make it big, though, a lot of people recognize the name. John Leslie, one of those, certainly. But
Yeah, people don't go to porn for the guys, except for certain.
No, like Peter North was another legend that came out
Ron
of that.
Jeremy.
Ron Jeremy, Tom Byron. These are guys who worked and worked and worked. Randy Spears, they've just worked forever, and so you get to know them after a while.
Black Zilla, I feel like I know him.
Ah, oh, Shane Diesel. Boy, that guy got something there.
He really did.
Speaking of sex, happy anniversary to my dad, Hugh Hefner. Today is
he's not your dad.
Today's the anniversary of the first time a Playboy magazine ever hit the newsstands, 57 years ago. The very first Playboy.
How about that?
Was available for purchase, featuring the now famous nude picture of Marilyn Monroe. You know, this documentary is out this week, Hugh Hefner, Playboy activist rebel. And you don't recognize the impact that that magazine, that first issue, had on the world because of this Marilyn Monroe picture. It's the only reason, really, his magazine ever took off. He had like $600 in the bank when he started this magazine. He didn't even put a date on the issue because wasn't sure there was going to be a second one. So he figured, why bother? So
he just got the biggest movie star in the world. And
he found a guy who had the rights to this nude picture of Marilyn Monroe, and she was just starting to become a movie star. But it'd be like starting a magazine 5 years ago and saying, I've got a nude Megan Fox layout.
Right.
You know what I mean? The timing could not have been perfect, and everybody was just chomping at the bit to see this photograph. So people were just buying it. You know, they were standing by newsstands, just watching people walk up in a line, people buying a copy of this magazine. They couldn't believe what was happening. But interesting movie if you want to check that out. Jessica Simpson said that she's fine with a prenup in preparations to be married to her ex-NFL player fiancé, Eric Johnson. This is why, and this shocked me. Well, first of all, when she broke up with Nick Lachey 5 years ago, they didn't have a prenup, and he walked away with apparently a hefty chunk of her assets.
Right.
And she's way richer now than she was then.
That's what struck me in this story.
Don't tell me she's independently wealthy beyond words.
You can't comprehend,
Kevin.
Oh,
so crazy. No.
She
so
is crazy. Worth, her personal worth is close to $1 billion.
What?
She made this year alone $750 million.
Oh, my God! How?
Her clothing line and all the other ancillary products and stuff that she hawks.
She have one of those perfumes?
She's got fragrances. She's got lingerie. She's got jeans. She's got a clothing line.
Cosmetics.
Yeah, that too. $750 million this year alone.
Now, is it possible that her stuff is actually pretty good? Because I doubt there are that many people out there in 2010 who are going out buying something just because it has Jessica Simpson's name on it.
Maybe. Maybe she makes good stuff. Maybe she's German. Because, you know, they make good stuff.
They do.
I don't know.
That blows my mind.
Isn't that insane?
Yes.
She's worth close to $1 billion? I don't know a lot of big stars that are worth close to $1 billion.
Right, right.
We need a clothing line.
We do.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a we'll makeup.
Start with Kevin and Bean t-shirts. Oh, wait a minute. They don't exist. Those are for people riding unicorns.
Doesn't stop us from giving them away, though.
That's true.
And Jessica Simpson also announced that her wedding's going to be a down-home Southern wedding.
Oh, good.
Lifestyle Weekly reports that the plan for the event is Texas food, barbecue, fried steak, casseroles, and gravies. And so it begins, Eric Johnson. That's right. And so it begins.
You poor bastard.
Oh, you have no idea. You're going to bed with Jessica Simpson. You're waking up with Aretha Franklin. That's what's going to happen to you. You're gonna have little white precious on your hands. In about 5 years, once she starts downing that gravy and fried steak. Oh, you can't imagine, Eric. Whatever you're getting, Eric, you're going to earn it. That's what I'm telling you.
Oh, man.
She is absolutely going to be Kirstie Alley Fat one day. There's no question about that.
She will be the, oh, look how pretty her face is. She'll be that girl.
She'll be Cardi Wilson.
Wow.
Man. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Michael Clark Duncan.
Oh, interesting.
He's 53 years old today. The man that Kevin was too scared to fight is 53 years old.
I was here ready.
The man that Kevin called a little girl.
However, in Kevin's defense, the man who also didn't answer the bell when it came time to put up or shut up.
Thank you.
Michael Clark Duncan is the one who really never responded to the challenge.
There was one boxer in the ring, my friend.
Yeah. I think Kevin wins by default.
I don't think we were on his radar. I think that was the problem. Yeah, I agree. Kenneth Branagh, talented actor, director, is 50 years old today. Emmanuel Shrieky, our buddy from Entourage. Also one of the voices of Call of Duty, the new Call of Duty. That came out. She's 33 years old today. Action actress Raven Simone is 25 years old. And drummer, I hate to say this, get ready to take back the bell, Kevin. Drummer Meg White of the White Stripes is 36 years old today.
I love her so much.
But so you represent us all with the bell. And we've had this conversation before where if we all kind of agree except for you, you're just going to have to hold off on the bell.
You can't use a personal bell.
Skin like a China doll and bosoms till Tuesday.
Look, she has big boobs.
Right.
That's what Bean can see.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
I love her pasty white complexion, too, and her long, dark hair.
Yeah. Well, thank God you were never worked at a funeral parlor. So I can imagine there would be no corpse that would be safe under your watch.
All will be carved.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
This is one of the biggest weekends of the year for us and for fans of the rock music because the Almost Acoustic Christmas shows are sold out both nights at the Gibson Amphitheater in beautiful Universal City, California. Smashing Pumpkins, Social Distortion, My Chemical Romance, Bad Religion, Jimmy Eat World, Cake, Phoenix, Vampire Weekend, Brandon Flowers, Black Keys, Temper Trap, The Andrees, Florence and the Machine, so much more. And we've been giving away tickets for the past couple weeks, but let's face it, guys, the shows are this weekend.
Yeah, tomorrow.
We're running out of time. I mean, if you don't win them today, you're not going to win them, basically. And that's why I'm happy to say it's as easy as being caller 10 right now to win.
No, Am I right? That's not
what?
The case. We've changed the plan. It was going
just,
to be that.
I thought you just picked up the phone and dialed
no,
in.
No.
No, because you know what? People always email us and they say, I would do anything for these tickets.
Yes.
So then we sat down and we said, all right.
Really?
This is for those of you that will do anything.
Loop up. That's what we say.
You say you will do anything, but today's contest, you'll get tickets in the pit for both nights.
In the pit, both nights.
Sweet.
Saturday and Sunday in the pit right in front of the bands.
Correct.
If I do this thing.
Correct.
Whatever it is you're going to say next.
That's right.
What am I going to do?
You're going to do Naked with Grandma. Now.
What?
This is where you have to have a grandma, first of all.
Well, thanks.
Or friends?
Both of them dead.
I don't know, maybe friends, grandma? I don't know. Would that work?
I don't think so.
Because that's even more awkward.
Has to be your grandma.
Okay, your own grandma. Okay.
Lube up.
No. Oh, there's no sex. There's no touching.
We need a picture of you naked with your grandma.
Oh, that sounds mortifying.
Now, yes, exactly. And we've done this in the past, and it always cracks us up to think of the phone call. Yeah, Grandma, listen.
Hello?
I'll be over in a few minutes.
Oh, I'd love to see you, honey.
I'm only going to stay for a second, though.
Oh, that's okay. I miss you so much.
Because I want to take a photo of us.
Oh, that'd be sweet, yes.
And I have to be nude.
What?
So, people do it, though, and I guess you just tell your grandma, look, you don't have to look. You just stare straight ahead. I'm going to take off my clothes.
She has to look.
She doesn't have to look.
We have to have proof that she's looking.
And she has to be wearing a rubber glove.
And you have to be bent over a table. No, it's not like that at all. Now, so far, by the way, there have only ever been dude listeners to the Kevin and Bean Show who have followed through on Naked with Grandma. Every year, I get hopeful that it's going to be one of our hot chicks that listens. But so far, that hasn't. But you are, of course,
eligible.
Care.
You just want Grandma.
It would seem easier if you're a girl to be naked with your grandma.
Yeah, I would think
I
so,
think
too.
So. Yeah,
make it less awkward.
I do too. Right. Right. But basically, you just have to talk Grandma into posing in a photograph with you where you are nude. And you have to be really nude. It can't be, I'm standing behind a couch, you have to take my word for it, Kevin, I mean, I'm nude. We have to be able to see that you're nude. So
that makes it sound like such perverse.
I know it does.
It does,
but I mean,
I know.
We have to verify the contest. I mean, otherwise, it'd be easy to fake. You just hold a pillow up there. You know what I mean? So that's what we're looking for, and it's really as simple as that. And it's the first Kevin and Bean listener who comes down and shows us the photograph and tells us the story of how you were able to get naked with Grandma.
Naked with Grandma, let's get naked. Naked with Grandma, let's get naked. Get naked with Grandma.
Maybe too excited about it right there. Maybe a little too excited.
That's the soundtrack to some very icky lovemaking. So here's what you do is you get a picture of your grandma. You call her up on the phone and you say, I'm
Hello?
Coming over. And you take that photograph.
Didn't you just call me?
Yeah, I'm going to be there in a minute, though. You got to be ready for to take your picture.
I don't. This is why the family hates you.
But I'm going to be nude in the photo.
Stop listening to that rock and roll music. It's warping your mind.
What are they telling you to do? All right, so we need a photo of your grandma. Doesn't have to be nude, just to clarify.
Great if she was, though.
Although
that's a bonus. If she is, I'm buying you a drink backstage, I'll tell you that.
We did have about an hour conversation yesterday about trying to get both naked. And then we thought, no, let's go with the OG. Just you're naked, your grandma can be clothed, but she has to be in the same photo with you naked. And we're calling it Naked with Grandma.
Naked with Grandma, let's get naked. Naked with Grandma, let's get naked. Get naked with Grandma.
My head hurt. That jingle. I don't like that one.
I love it.
First Kevin and Bean Lister, by the way, who takes the photo today and comes down during today's show. If you're a previous winner, I don't want you to try to weasel out of it by saying, hey, I had a picture.
How do they
ago.
Prove it?
They have to hold up the USA Today.
I don't know that anyone.
On a grandma's boobs.
Hostage style. You have to have
hostage style, yeah.
Kevin, nobody out there has a photograph already laying around of them being naked with their grandma, unless they previously played this contest.
Let me
that's
go through
why
the scrapbook.
Saying.
Here's me naked with grandpa. No, that's not going to do it. Here's me naked with Auntie Louise. No.
Now, we thought about naked with grandpa. If you're a girl, but that's way too creepy, so we're
that
just going with grandma.
Yeah,
just we're right. gonna stick with grandma.
Oh, so many grandpas out there just bummed right now.
Yeah, I finally had a reason to see her naked.
Now we understand that this contest isn't for everyone, but I guarantee you right now that phone calls have already been made.
Yes. Yes, they have. God bless you.
Now, you have to come down to the radio station, and we're not going to give out the address, but you can just call the number and ask where it is.
If you say, I got my picture, we'll tell you where to come.
1-800-520-1067.
Or if you have any other questions about the contest, it's the same telephone number to get in touch with us here.
What's the name of it? I'm sorry, I forgot.
Extra points, by the way, if grandma's wearing an adult diaper in the picture. Just that. Just a diaper.
What do they get with extra
and
points?
Tassels. Tassels on her nipples. I don't know. I'd buy them a hot dog or something.
Wow.
Do we even serve hot dogs?
I don't think so. That's quite a bonus. That's totally worth trying to get your grandma in tassels.
Naked with grandma, let's get naked. Naked with grandma, let's get naked. Get naked with grandma. Get naked with grandma, yeah.
Last time we let, never mind.
No. Probably shouldn't.
Probably shouldn't.
So, can you just picture Omar in there yesterday just yelling? Somebody interrupts
like
him.
Queens
naked with Grandma, yeah!
Like Queens of the Stone Age make our jingles.
All right, so, photo. You, naked. Grandma, not naked. Necessarily.
Look, if she is, fine.
You'll get a hot dog from Ralph if she's wearing tassels.
And an adult diaper. Maybe you live in a nudist family. Maybe you guys are very comfortable with each other. Everybody's nude. Maybe there's a nude family portrait. Mom, dad, you, the kids.
Does that work?
The dog's been shaved. Everybody's naked. Right. Everybody's naked
but
in the
I think we need just the photo of you and grandma.
You are picky.
If for some reason
Kevin's got a very specific fetish.
Well, I know, but I'm saying if somehow you have a picture of your whole family naked.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, never mind. That's not going to happen. Okay. All right. So, Naked with Grandma, 1-800-520-1067. Pitt. Both nights. All right? Called to find out where we are. First people to accomplish that and come down here will win those tickets.
I'm confused. I understand the rules. Naked with Grandma?
Yes.
I did a photo of me naked with my grandma?
You're naked.
Right?
Yes.
I believe it's been explained.
Grandma clothes.
Uh-huh. Then I call the number.
Or not. Then you call the number.
You give me the address.
Right.
I bring the photo.
Right.
There you go. Now you got it.
Right. It's Naked with Grandma.
Naked with Grandma. Let's get naked. Naked with Grandma. Let's get naked. Get naked with Grandma. Get naked with Grandma. Yeah.
Why does Grandma blow up at the end?
I don't know.
Two of the best-looking men in show business.
Thank
Mark
you.
Wolf.
Thank you very much. Kevin
Thanks
and I appreciate
much.
That.
That's
and
nice
we
of
like you mentioning
no,
that.
Nice
thing.
Of you to say.
I
very
was
kind
talking
of.
About
nice.
Mark Wahlberg and Petros Papadakis, both coming up as guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, it's Friday. That means Ralph, who's not bad-looking on his own, is here with the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Interesting batch of films opening up in Cineplexes this weekend. We're going to take a look at four of them this morning. Brand new films, starting with the film that was made just for Kevin.
All right.
I could tell when this, I saw the trailer, I said, this is Kevin's movie, because no one loves Shakespeare more than Kevin does. And I think of all his works, his final completed play, The Tempest, was probably Kevin's favorite out of the batch. His last masterpiece. Don't you agree, Kevin, that you love The Tempest?
That's the martial arts dude, right?
Oh, never mind.
Shakespeare?
Helen Mirren stars in this film, along with Felicity Jones and Jamin Hunsu. You know the story.
Yeah, well, it goes unsaid.
Prospera, the rightful Duchess of Milan, is exiled to a remote island with her young daughter, Miranda. And, of course, exerting her influence over the island, Prospera develops a new enemy, the slave Caliban.
I don't know who any of those people are.
Who looks to raise rebellion against her. And, right. Oh, I'll tell you, chaos ensues. Some wacky stuff happens. Look, Kevin, here's the thing. We kid. But this is a very modern, CGI'd retelling, updating of the classic play, The Tempest. I think if you gave this a shot, you would actually like it.
No way!
Come on, Kevin.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Listen, Shakespeare was the populist writer of his day. He wrote very accessible dramas for regular people.
No.
A lot of action and bloodletting and intrigue and violence.
No!
Give it a chance, is what I'm saying.
Ooh, no.
All right, here's a scene from The Tempest where Helen Mirren, as Prospera, is recalling her exile to the small island where she now lives.
Wherefore did they not that tower destroy us?
So dear the love my people bore me. In a few they hurried us aboard a bark, bore us some leagues to sea where they'd prepared a rotten carcass of a boat. And there they hoist us to cry to the seas that roared to us. To sigh to the winds whose pity sighing back again did us but loving wrong.
Come on.
Oh, Kevin come on. Is totally in now.
That is some beautiful language right there.
Come on.
Come
that
on.
That makes Yoda
yourself.
Sound normal.
Oh, why you gotta be you? All right, maybe you'll go see The Chronicles of Narnia, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
That doesn't look too bad.
This, of course, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, based on the famous song by Gordon Lightfoot.
No.
About the Dawn Treader that went down when they were going.
No, that's the regular
show. There was
a
lion in the closet, and the Caspian was a prince, and he had a big sword, and he wielded it.
I wish I'd go to that.
This is, of course, from the book series, The Chronicles of Narnia. Tilda Swinton stars in this film, along with Ben Barnes and Liam Neeson. This is, of course, when Lucy and Edmund return to Narnia with their cousin Eustace, where they meet up with Prince Caspian for a trip across the sea aboard the royal ship, the Dawn Treader.
I don't know who any of those people are.
They encounter dragons, dwarves, merfolk, and a band of lost warriors before reaching the end of the world. This is a lot like The Tempest, actually. There's a very Shakespearean feel about these books.
Sure.
Yeah. Here's a scene from Chronicles of Narnia where Edmund and his gang learns about the Dark Island.
Dark Island. A place where evil lurks. It can take any form. It can make your darkest dreams come true. It seeks to corrupt all goodness, to steal the light from this world.
How do we stop it?
You must break its spell.
You must take a picture nude with your grandmother.
Now, I didn't see the first Narnia movie because it looked dumb, but it was a huge hit, right?
Yes, Ralph? Well, the books have been
pretty good.
Favorites for years, and the movies apparently are excellent adaptations of the original works, and people seem to love them. I know Dave's very excited.
Pretty good.
I came in this morning, he said, Happy Narnia Day.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. God.
Well, now that makes me question my allegiance.
He loves to go on the first day to see the Narnia movies. The Tourist opens this weekend. Johnny Depp, Paul Bettany, young lady named Angelina Jolie. Yeah, good stuff. Depp plays an American traveler in Venice who finds himself hooked up with a beautiful and mysterious woman named Elise, played by Angelina Jolie. She turns out to be an Interpol agent. There's a dangerous connection to a fugitive criminal. He gets sucked into this twisted plot. He doesn't know what's going on. He is a fish out of water, if you will. He's the tourist. Here, Johnny Depp talks to Paul Bettany about some legal trouble involving some taxes.
So, game's in 2 days. You talk to your team?
No, I'll have to.
What's that? It's all set.
That's not it. That's me on an ABC After School special.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is it.
Johnny Depp.
Help. Hello? Por favor? Who are you people? Where are we going?
Well, I don't know. Alexander? Where are we going?
I'm not Alexander. My name is Frank Tupelo. I'm an American citizen and I have rights.
I don't care what you call yourself these days. Your name is Alexander Pierce and you have no rights. Until you pay us £744 million back taxes.
£744
million. That's all?
That's that all?
Just that much?
Well, I got that right here.
Just clear that up and then I'm free?
Yeah, a little mistaken identity there puts Johnny Depp in a world of hurt. I can't wait to see this film.
Looks
Those
good.
Two people on the screen together?
I agree.
Some of the best actors.
Paul Bettany's great, too.
And speaking of good actors, Mark Wahlberg stars as Mickey Ward, scrappy fighter extraordinaire. If you're a boxing fan at all, you know that name from his legendary fights with Cotto. This is, not Cotto, help me out, Mike.
Mickey Ward and, God damn.
Got it. Mark Wahlberg plays Mickey Ward trying to reconcile with his family. In this scene, the fighter is about his relationship with his brother, who's also a boxer, his mom, his new girlfriend, and by all accounts, one of the best dramas of the year. Here's a scene starring Mark Wahlberg talking to his family about his choices in The Fighter.
No, I wouldn't have won Sanchez if it wasn't for Dickie.
How can you say that to O'Keefe?
Because it's true. Right? I went in without a game plan. It wasn't working, so I went back to what I learned with Dickie. And I wouldn't have won without you either, O'Keefe, okay?
Dickie's a junk bag.
Hey.
He's a junk bag.
Why am I the problem? I'm his blood. I'm his family.
I'm
the one fighting, okay? Not you, not you, and not you. I know what I need.
And you need Dickie?
I want Dickie back. And I want you, Charlene. And I want O'Keefe. I want my family. What's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with that. You go. You go, Mickey Ward. Christian Bale plays his brother Dickie, referred to in that scene, who is was a fighter, became a trainer, but was also a horrible junkie. And so he's trying to keep his family together and deal with his brother's addictions while he's also trying to win fights. I'm a sucker for a boxing movie, so I can't wait to check out The Fighter this weekend. Those are your four to choose from. All good films. Kevin, we'll see you at the Tempest. He'll be the one wearing tights and a doublet, carrying a sword, and he'll be quoting Shakespeare. That's how you'll pick him out. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's movie beat. Just
through. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 641.
I didn't realize I had any Chevelle in my future when I woke up this morning, but I enjoyed that very much. Thank you for playing that, The Red. Hey, real quick, before we get into the thing here, my understanding, Kevin, is that there are two different Kevin and Bean listeners who already have had their photos taken naked with Grandma this morning in an attempt to win tickets for the Acoustic Christmas concerts this weekend.
Wow.
We announced it a half an hour ago. There are two listeners who have already taken the photo, and apparently one or both are on the way down here to share with us.
Yes. You know what we don't think, what we don't take into account is living with Grandma. You know, because we think it's going to take a...
Mexicans.
We think it's going to take... says look, Mike, the half Mexican. We think it's going to take a while, right? Because you got to get over to your grandma's house. Yeah. I
pictured that there are a fair amount of people who live with a grandma, but that's not the hard part of this. The hard part is not finding your grandma or getting to your grandma. It's talking your grandma into being in a photograph where you're naked. And whether you live with grandma or not, that's a tough sell. Yeah. But apparently someone has done it, and they're on their way down. So the first person who gets here and shows us the photo taken today of you naked with grandma wins tickets for both nights of Almost Acoustic Christmas in the pit. We could have a winner in minutes.
And then we put it on the air, on the internet. Okay. Now, right? Is that part of it?
I think we pixelate, but beyond that, yeah, sure, why not?
No, let's not pixelate. What's this, Mike? What's this song?
It's a tribute.
Every time there's a surprise on the show, Bean and I cringe because we've done a lot of cringeworthy stuff, and we know that it's going to be somehow used to mock.
Well, here's what happens. This is just like Ralph with his quote unquote secret break earlier in the week, where he had bad television interview footage of us from the 90s. The rest of the staff hates us, and when we're not around, they sit around and go, "God, we got to bring down Kevin Amin. What do you got? There has to be some dirt. There has to be some trash.
Because we've given them so much.
The motives here were not hate. It's not to pick on anybody. It's simply a tribute. Everybody speaks with their own cadence. They have their own natural rhythm to their speech. They have their speech patterns and their phrasing and things like that. And sometimes it can just accidentally be musical. And I'll piece that together. Sometimes I'll be listening to someone talk, and just out of nowhere, subconsciously, a song will be applied to their speech.
Okay.
And I took a piece of now famous audio of our man Kevin talking, and took it to the lab with Omar, who's a genius producer, and we put together this TV theme song in dedication to you, Mr. Kevin.
What did you do? What did you do? What did you do? What did you do? What did you do?
Come on.
What did you do? What did you do? What did you do? What did you do? What did you do?
He's drunk and often loopy, confused and rather kooky. He's stammering and goofy. Is Kevin special needs? His memory is failing. Vocabulary's ailing. He can't work his email because Kevin special needs.
What did you do?
Come on.
What did you do? What did you do? What did you do? What did you do?
That's a tribute?
Yeah!
Yay!
Short, that's strong.
Short, sweet.
Come on now.
So at what point did it occur to you that what did you do sounded just like the Addams Family theme?
It was like Brow Down or any, if you hear the word Barcelona, every once in a while you'll just be singing My Sharona and throw Barcelona in there. And what did you do was like just hitting that rhythmic pattern of the Addams Family theme, and it just had to be done. There's nothing
you
I could do.
Yeah. We don't even know what that was from. We don't know who I was talking to.
No.
Nothing.
What did you do?
I would like to request hearing that one more time, please.
Well, we don't have time now.
Yeah, I believe we can squeeze it in.
It's really
maybe
short.
Maybe later. Yes.
What did you do?
Come on now.
What did you do? What did you do? What did you do? What did you do?
Sing it if you know it.
What did you do? What did you do? What did you do? What did you do?
I hope Vampire Weekend covers this weekend.
He's drunk and often loopy, confused and rather kooky. He's stammering and goofy. Is Kevin special needs? His memory is failing. Vocabulary's ailing. He can't work his email because Kevin special needs.
What did you do? What did you do? What did you do? What did you do? What did you do?
Yeah.
Well said, Kevin.
All right, I know that you probably don't spend most Saturday and Sunday nights online. I'm sure that you have things to do and stuff like that.
Oh, I do.
But we do have the 21st annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas this weekend, tomorrow night and Sunday night. And it's being webcast, so you can watch it. So you can go to krock.com and watch it.
I will only watch it if there's a good host who's hosting it along for my enjoyment.
Sorry, Psycho Mike.
Sunday good host.
Whatever.
Sunday good host, yes. Yeah. So check that out at krock.com. It is 6:55.
You are listening to The Kevin Amin Show on a Friday. Ralph was just talking about The Fighter, a movie he's hoping to see this weekend, starring Mark Wahlberg. Mark Wahlberg himself will join us coming up in about 10 minutes or so right here on The Kevin Amin Show. By the way, that's a heads up for you guys. Apparently, he's available to us at 6 minutes past the hour, just so you know.
Oh, we're going to the clock. Don't worry about that.
Time now for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
I heard in that fight, and you guys will have to ask him, in the movie The Fighter, they don't even cover the Gotti battles, the Arturo Gotti battles.
Really?
It's his life up until before that.
But that's the one that made him famous?
That is the one. Those were some people say some of the best fights ever. Just wars. Just two guys just toe-to-toe, center of the ring, just dropping bombs.
Great stuff.
If you have never seen them, go on YouTube or wherever you need to go to watch them, because it is remarkable stuff. Two tremendously tough fighters going at it. Speaking of movies, before I get to the showbiz news, I would like to give away some passes to the very special advanced screening of a little movie I like to call True Grit.
Now, why do you call it that, Ralph? I'm unclear.
Because that's the title.
It's True
Grit. From the Coen brothers, reunites them with their Big Lebowski star, Jeff Bridges. I'm getting just a big dose of Bridges this holiday season.
You love him, don't you, with Tron?
I love him, and I got him in True Grit, and I get me some Tron. And I got twice the Bridges in Tron, because he's Flynn, and he's also Clue, who is looks just like him, and it is him, only he has been backdated by CGI about 30 years.
They've taken 30 years off, but it looks amazing.
Yeah, it does look amazing.
But you need to settle down.
Sorry, I just love some Jeff Bridges. True Grit, it's going to be a very special screening at the Mann Chinese Theater in Hollywood. I will be there hosting. Come join me. See this amazing film brought to you by the Coen brothers. It's Matt Damon. It's Josh Brolin. And, of course, as I mentioned, Jeff Bridges. True Grit is in theaters everywhere December the 22nd. But you don't have to wait if you're one of the first callers at 1-800-520-1067. First five callers to get through get a pair of passes to join me to see True Grit. Because that's what they have. They have True Grit.
Right.
And they go out there and they... hunt down
but you're
the
not gonna
guys.
Like you're not gonna be so excited. You're like standing up out of your seat, yelling, "Yes!
I'm wearing my Rooster Cogburn costume."
Oh no!
Yeah, I'm gonna be like one of those Harry Potter kids who shows up in the midnight showing.
Sorry, people, you should probably also buy a ticket to a regular screen.
I'm gonna put an eye patch on and a cowboy hat. Bring a bottle of bourbon.
It's good luck.
Sorry, I can't help you, son.
Are you gonna be the guy that says the dialogue along with the movie?
I haven't seen the movie yet. How could okay. I possibly? Kevin, you'll be happy to know that Billboard magazine has announced the number one song of the year. Number one song of the year.
Now, this is just pure popularity.
Yes.
Right?
Sales, airplay, across the board. Number most pop number year. One song of the year. You especially will be happy, I think.
Has to be Lady Gaga.
Nope. You would think, but you'd be wrong.
Black Eyed Peas?
No, sir.
It's not Kesha.
Yes, sir.
Number one song of the year?
TikTok. Is America's number one song for 2010. Please enjoy.
Oh, no.
Yes, Kevin. Yes, Kesha. Kesha, she haunts your dreams. And Kesha is a bit of a strange girl. She tells Life and Style Weekly magazine in an interview that her biggest fear is of squids.
Wow.
She's afraid of squids.
How can you ever avoid those?
Do you think she just says stuff to try to sound weird when she's talking to interviewers? It always seems to me that she's got some weird half-ass answer that she gives because she's trying to be, oh, look, I'm so out there. I'm such a weirdo.
I'm an
crazy.
Eccentric entertainer. Yeah, of course. That's what I hate about her.
Are you a whore?
She says she can open beer bottles with her teeth. That's one of her many talents.
Well, she looks like she was raised by wolves. I'm not surprised by that.
And, Kevin, she can hold her breath underwater without using her hands.
What?
I don't even know what that means.
How do you use your hands to hold
her? She just have to hold her nose, I guess. That's what she means. Yeah, that's the number one song.
That's impressive.
Right, that's the number one song.
So she's talented and smart.
She can hold her breath without using her hands?
Let's find out how long she can hold her breath by weighting her down. Filling her with lead.
That's
and then
good.
Just letting her sink to the bottom.
That
is see what
good.
Happens.
That's really, seriously, that's not good.
I do a quick correction. I said in the last hour that Jessica Simpson earned $750 million from her celebrity fashion line, the Jessica Simpson Collection.
Right, which is impossible to believe.
As it turns out, the line did bring in $750 million in retail sales this year. But poor Jessica only makes a little over $100 million out of that sale.
Oh, that's I see. So that was gross.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
So she's only earning about $100 million from the $750 million in sales.
How's she getting by?
Her personal worth is closer to about $500 million. It's not really $1 billion, as we said before. The clothing line is worth
about
$1
billion. Jessica Simpson?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just 2010?
Oh, yeah. That's it. That's all. That's all. So she'll probably stand to make, you know, at least another $100 million next year. Because it is the most successful celebrity fashion line of all time, Kevin.
Is that true?
Yes. Forget your Jacqueline Smiths. Forget your Kathy Ireland's. Forget all these other, you know, celebrity lines that have been around for a long time. Most successful of all time was the Jessica Simpson collection.
Stop it.
So you got that going for you. Today's celebrity birthdays, Michael Clark Duncan was born on this date. He is 53 years old today. Kenneth Branagh is 50. Meg White of the White Stripes is 36 years old. Really? Really?
I hurt her so much.
Yeah, right. But you know you're going to get those taken back every time, right?
Oh, that hurts so bad.
Manuel Shariki is 33 years old today, and Raven Simone is 25. That is so Raven of her to have her birthday today, isn't it?
File!
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Apparently Mark Wahlberg, in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about his new film called The Fighter, and our friend Petros Papadakis joins us later on today's Kevin and Bean Show, talking about the College Bowl setup this year, and our friend Adam Carolla, too. All of that still to come. By the way, no one has arrived yet, Kevin, with Naked with Grandma pictures. We understand that is imminent. Someone will appear with a picture of them naked in a photo taken today with their grandma. If they do, they'll win tickets for both nights in the pit of the Almost Acoustic Christmas concerts this weekend.
We just love to picture what what that conversation must be like between you and your grandma. Listen, that's grandma, right. I want to go to a show. Okay, but what? You have to get naked? So we're going to do that coming up. When Twitter started, I wasn't as excited as everybody. And then I turned on it and I thought, wow, this is a lot of nonsense. But then I realized dumb people now have access to everyone, like celebrities, and they say dumb stuff all the time, and that's great. I love that. But there is some Twitter abuse going on, and it's going on by someone in our staff.
Bean?
Uh-oh.
Not Bean this time, no.
What?
This would be the King of Mexico.
Dave. Oh, we're going to highlight my awesomeness?
Yes.
Yeah.
We are going to highlight your tweets.
Now, before we get into what makes Dave bad, and I agree with you 100% on this, Kevin, the biggest problem that I had with Twitter at the beginning, and I think you did too, is that we don't care about the minutiae of your life. Just because the technology exists for you to tell us you're on the toilet doesn't mean you should or that we want to know about it, right?
Well, yeah, because there used to be a filter where it had to be something pretty spectacular to get out. But now it can just be any thought you have, I've turned now. I think it's great because I love the people that don't have a filter. I think it really bites them in the ass.
But what? But who are these people who think that that the people who follow them care if they tweet just sitting down to dinner? I mean, you literally see tweets like that, and I don't understand what the draw.
I
don't get it.
I don't get the good morning. I don't get that tweet.
It doesn't contribute to anybody's life.
But there's some funny, some interesting, some with a lot of links. You know,
and we're going to feature them all right now.
And we're going to feature the King of Mexico right now, who is a really bizarre dude. We call him the King of Mexico, of course, because he's Mexican, but he doesn't speak Spanish. And he got D's and F's in high school in Spanish.
That's true.
And But his tweets, I believe we have the King of Mexico set up in the other room to read the tweets.
Oh, I'm here.
For some reason, the King of Mexico thinks that his clothing choices are very important.
So wait, we have real life Dave in the studio with us, and then in the other room we have Tweet Dave?
Correct, Tweet Dave.
I'm Whimsical Tweet Dave.
Whimsical Tweet Dave. What are you tweeting about today, Whimsical Tweet Dave?
It's getting cold. Which pair of fingerless gloves should I wear tomorrow? Decisions.
Okay, now.
It's a great example of the kind of tweet the world doesn't need.
Because.
Excuse me, my hands are cold.
Right. So you put on gloves?
Yes.
Fine.
And I had three pairs.
Okay, so what do you think, Bean? Do you think that Dave just let it go at that, or would you guess that he put up pictures?
Oh, I would hope that he would be so embarrassed to even think of that.
Pictures of each pair of gloves.
Well, there were three different unique styles. You know, we had the underpants that were underwear fingerless gloves, which are awesome. Thanks, Bean. And then I had striped gloves, and then I had American Apparel black gloves. And I wanted to know which ones I needed to wear the next day.
But why do you think anyone else would care enough to vote on what fingerless gloves you're going to wear, Dave?
It's not if they cared or not. I'm asking for opinions of what they wanted.
Bow tie or cardigan or ugly Christmas sweater. decisions.
So, is that about this weekend?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're trying to figure out what to wear, and you think that people who read that tweet are going to go, I really prefer Dave in an ugly Christmas sweater.
Or, I have a strong opinion.
I'm gathering people's opinions of, you know, what do you think I would, what do you want to see, you know?
But Dave, what kind of Jesus complex do you have that you think anyone gives a rat's ass what you're wearing at Acoustic Christmas?
I don't think they give a rat's ass. I'm just asking.
You do because
you do.
You do think they give a rat's ass. You said you want opinions.
By the way, these are my peeps. You know, it's not going out to everybody. These are my peeps who choose to
follow me. These peeps need to stop following you.
The people who unfortunately follow you. Look, what about the people who follow you like I do who think it's because you're going to say something good and then you bore me with this?
Hold on, another one.
Happy birthday, Britney Spears. Keep your head up.
Did you tweet that?
I had to. She follows me, so I had to give her a little birthday shout-out, and it was when her tapes were released, so...
Britney follows everybody who follows her. You know that. Right?
I think I'm going to learn the Dougie.
Oh, please, God, make that happen.
That was funny. Come on.
That is actually pretty funny.
Thank you, Bean.
Dave doing the Dougie is pretty funny.
Why doesn't Yo Gabba Gabba like fat people? All I want to do is wear this sweater. No extra large? Boo.
Come on, right? Yes.
What do you mean, come on, right? Like
you're
going to go
around.
Yeah.
That made you laugh.
Yeah, it made me laugh.
That made you laugh.
But because of the inanity. Inanity, yeah, is that the right word? Being
yes,
funny.
Yes, that's it. Yes.
It's a just funny so... tweet. And by the way, I attached a picture of an awesome
of
sweater
you
that
did.
I wanted to wear. It's...
I blew it today by not going to So You Think You Can Dance show at Staples. Guess Glee will have to do.
I really wanted to go to that show. I should have went.
Okay, but anyone else needs to know that? I mean, do people write back and go, wow, I feel your pain.
No,
I wanted to go to Staples
back,
Center
hey,
as well.
I'm here. It's rocking. I'm like, damn, burn.
You are practically Nelson Mandela in a prison cell tweeting.
Chiggity check. 1, 2. Chiggity check.
I installed a new program. I wanted to make sure it worked.
But that's how you check a microphone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Huh. Come on. Dave spends more time thinking about what he wears than any guy I've ever met, by
I
the
agree.
Way. You know,
and it's not just laying it out and picking it, you know, making it match and getting stuff ready ahead of time. He wants people's votes.
Nothing like playing Angry Birds while toilet tweeting at work. Oh. Good use of time.
Oh,
it's the
no.
little things.
Dave,
oh,
come
no.
on.
Angry Birds is fun.
And look,
yeah, but going to the bathroom
should,
is fun.
You should
Put
tweet.
Them together. It's awesome.
You should
tweeting.
Tweet Angry Birds is fun. Fine. But you don't have to tell us what you're doing while you're on the toilet. There's none of us that want to know that.
No, it's
you know
a terrible visual, too.
You know, the look you had on your face right
Zero
now
people.
Was worth it.
Already thinking about what to wear to acoustic Christmas. Bow tie or no bow tie? Fingerless gloves, a given.
Dave, it's going to be 80 degrees, by the way, at concert time.
During
why do you even
day,
need to wear? Why do you need to wear fingerless gloves?
Because it's going
to
be
for an indoor bean, concert. All right, bean. At night it's going to be 72. Bean. Then
no, it's 49. Bean. It's 49. I already checked the forecast. It's 49.
Listen, both of you, shut up. Listen, he doesn't do it to stay warm. Dave does
right.
it for fashion.
Unbelievable. How far ahead of Kevin leaving the house tomorrow to go to the show do you think he's going to start thinking about what he's going to wear, Dave?
I think whatever he trips into.
I have yes. to keep my palms warm and my fingers cold.
All right. Listen, tweet Dave. Thank you for joining us. The real Dave. Stop it. Just stop it.
Stop it.
Nope.
You want to see me kick some ass? I do karate. You're fired. You're fired. Oh, I'm the biggest star here, man. That's the way it is. I want to f***. It's my big f***. So everybody get ready now.
No gang shooting. That was an execution. They set mom up. They set her up.
These are my brothers.
God, Doc, you're my real brother.
Yeah, these are my real brothers.
Fight! Eagle, fire!
They let you go.
No, not yet. They will load them all. I just been kidding myself, Pop. I don't need some hack from South Philly. I need a football player. They don't need me.
Maybe if you told me what this was about.
It's a homicide. Multiple homicides.
I didn't get your name.
Thanks, Payne.
I believe you got out of that. Bishop was fired from my weapon, but a week before at a can of stew. I did take an oath to defend this country from all enemies, foreign and domestic. Just didn't figure it'd end up quite this involved. But at the end of the day, when all the dust settles, you can't hide from the truth, you son of a bitch.
Do you have anyone in with Costello presently?
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe f*** yourself. My theory on feds is they're like mushrooms. Feed them f***, keep them in the dock.
I don't like you. I think you're a fake cop. If we were in the wild, I would attack you. If I were a lion and you were a tuna, I would swim out in the middle of the ocean and eat you.
Last time we had Mark Wahlberg on the Kevin and Bean Show, he was talking about that movie, The Other Guys, with Will Ferrell. Now he's back with something completely different. The Fighter opens everywhere, well, in limited release today and then going wider next week. Please see it this holiday season. Mark Wahlberg, back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mark, how
hey
are you, man?
Thanks for having me back. Appreciate it. How are you?
We are psyched about you being on the show. We're more psyched about this movie. And as we understand it, this is a film you've been wanting to make for a real, real long time. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I met Mickey for the first time when I was 18, and then when I started acting, I was trying to figure out, you know, roles to, you know, create for myself, and I thought, wow, I would love to play Mickey Ward. I almost played two other boxers, and I approached him about making a movie about his life, and they had already sold the rights to somebody else, and I was kind of bummed out, but then Paramount, shortly after that, came and offered me the part of Mickey.
How about that? Kind of now, is this new for you to play somebody not only a real person that you can be compared to, but to play somebody that you know so well?
Yeah, I mean, I obviously got to know Vince Papale very well, and when I did The Perfect Storm, I spent a lot of time with my character's family, getting to know them, and you know, it's important when you play a real person, obviously, that you're, you know, involve them as much as they want to be involved, and that, you handle the situation delicately.
Is it a little, delicately, I was going to say, is it a little more pressure knowing that there's someone out there that's going to be going, hey, not like me versus a fictional character?
Yeah, I mean, you know, hopefully they'll cast the right guys for the right part, and they knew I was willing to go on a phone interview. Sorry. They knew I was the right guy for the woman that's asked me for a picture. They knew right. I was the right guy for the part, and I felt confident that I could portray Mickey, and my goal was to look like a real boxer who could win the title and not an actor who could, you know, shadow box and make it, you know, look good if he's cut the right way and shot the right way. You know, wanted to make it real.
Super close-ups and a lot.
You know, separated from the other boxing movies was to shoot it like real boxing.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny because so often actors will play an athlete in a movie and they'll think they can really do the sport. But when I watch you in the trailers for this movie, I go, that dude looks like he can really box. Do you think you could hold your own with a lot of different amateurs, Mark?
Oh, yeah. I've been in there. I've been in there with a lot of pros. I mean, the guys that we used in the movie, you know, Miguel Espino, who plays Alfonso Sanchez, number three middleweight in the world when we shot the movie. And a guy who plays Mike Mungin is seven-time kickboxing champ Pete Sugarford Cunningham. You know, I was in there with Mickey. I was in there with Dickie. I was, you know, I mixed it up with a lot of guys. And like I said, we really boxed. We didn't, you know, do the stunt punch thing. We wanted to make it real. We shot it with the HBO cameras that shot the actual Mickey Ward Gotti fight. And, you know, we shot it in real time, went in there and banged each other.
I got to tell you.
That's amazing.
I think it was you. I hope I'm not embarrassing myself. But I think it was you that in the 24/7 when Pacquiao was training, it seemed like you were there all the time. I was like, wow, this guy really loves boxing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, Floyd Mayweather's been over my house. Like, I built a boxing ring in my backyard.
This is a commitment right here. Now that this movie is finally done and out and you don't have to be in that kind of shape and get that kind of exercise, please tell me you're going to do what I do, and that's just flab out now. You're going to, like, be 300 pounds the next time we see you.
Oh, man, we just did a photo shoot yesterday. We're doing the cover of Sports Illustrated. I think they're, like, the 10th non-athlete in the 40-year history of the magazine. And I was already, you know, they wanted to put me in boxing shorts and everything. I said, dude, I trained for 4.5 years to make this movie. I've been doing nothing but stuffing my face and drinking wine.
Good.
Good. That's what we want to
hear.
And they
said, we don't care.
Now, it's true that you were expecting to start the movie and it didn't quite get off on time. So you literally did stay in shape for 4.5 years?
Yeah. I mean, all the other movies that I did, I would train while I was shooting those other films, bring the boxing trainer with me, the athletic trainer with me. Because, look, it's not the kind of thing where you can train for 6 months, then you stop 4 months and you pick up where you left off. If you stop, you lose all that.
Right.
And, you know, it did allow me to look like a real boxer, which was the goal. So it was worth it in the end. But if somebody said, hey, we want you to do this movie, but you got to train for 5 years, I'm like, you're out of your mind.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Now, this is the voice of Mark Wahlberg on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about his film, The Fighter, opening up today with an unbelievable cast. Christian Bale, of course, co-stars with you. Amy Adams is in the movie, who's always, always great, too. Tell people real quick, Mark, before you go, of course, there are a lot of boxing personalities, but what is it about Mickey Ward that made him a person worth making a movie about? What's extraordinary about his story?
Well, every boxer I've met has a story worthy of telling in a movie or on television, but all the things that he had to overcome outside of the ring. The movie isn't really about it. Boxing is obviously the backdrop, but it's about his struggles, his relationship with his brother, who's his manager and trainer, was supposed to be the great boxer and, you know, succumbed to a crack addiction. And, you know, the mother was always, you know, looked at his older brother as the star and the favorite. And he just had so much to overcome. And he was never supposed to be the guy, but he just had so much heart and will and determination that he did the impossible.
Well, it looks like an unbelievable story. I can't wait to see it this weekend. The Fighter is what it's called. Mark Wahlberg, always a pleasure to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Man, have a great holiday season. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you guys for having me again. I appreciate you.
Thanks. Thank you.
And don't forget, if you want to be in the pit to see Social D and all the bands on both nights of the Almost Acoustic Christmas sold-out concerts this weekend, all you have to do is be the first down to the Kevin and Bean Show with a photo of you naked with your grandma. We do this contest once every couple of years or so, and it's always a lot of fun. Fun for us, not maybe so much
your
fun
grandma
for you.
Doesn't have to be naked, but you have to be naked in a photo that you take today with your grandma.
I think it's a bonus if grandma's naked too, though, because Ralph said he'll buy you a hot dog if you do that.
Okay, so through.
Anyway, if you need more details, you have questions about it, or you want to come on down and do that, you can call Chip at 1-800-520-1067. This is the manliest show on the Kevin and Bean program in a while. Petros Papadakis coming up. We just had Mark Wahlberg on the program. Our friend Adam Carolla on the phone right now. AdamCarolla.com. Christmas Carolla live shows are happening all up and down the West Coast, including December 16th through the 19th at the Irvine Improv, and two big shows on New Year's Eve at El Portal in North Hollywood. How are you, Ace Man?
Oh, a little hungover.
All right.
Calling from San Francisco.
Yeah, you got a bunch of shows up there this week too. You're really working hard this holiday season. I thought once you wrote the book and then went on that huge press tour, you'd say, "That's it, I'm taking some time off." But no.
Yeah, I should have. A smarter man would have.
Is hungover code for tired because I've been working a lot, or is it actually hungover because you drank a lot?
Well, it's both.
Okay.
Because, you know, you do two shows and you get back to these hotel rooms and you get back at 12:30 at night and you're wide awake because you just did two shows.
Right.
So you have to have a couple of sips of wine in order to slow yourself down enough to fall asleep in a strange room in a strange town with a strange comforter.
And a strange woman in bed next to you.
Yeah.
It's getting creepy in here. All right. AdamRola.com is where you get all the details. Adam joins us every Friday on the Kevin DeBean Show for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting at three and working our way down to number one, it's that time where people are getting their Christmas trees. And a lot of people getting the fake Christmas tree this year. Our own Jimmy Kimmel swears by the fake Christmas tree.
Is that
tree.
Right? You know who keeps his up 24/7, 365 days a year is our man Bean.
Oh, that would be not so lean Bean Baxter.
His fake tree.
Hey, Adam and I got our picture taken in front of my Christmas tree when he was up here, over the summer or something, right, Ace?
Bean, remember we agreed not to talk about that?
I'm sorry. All right, so now I'm guessing if I know Adam Carolla that you're against a fake tree. You think it's a slap in the face of America, right?
It's an attack against the baby Jesus. It's worse. The number one answer for the fake tree is they don't have to deal with the hassle of going down to the church and dropping off the $60 so the money can go to some retarded kids and throwing it on top of the Jeep and bringing it home. But let's just really examine hassle, because you get a lot of that, oh, it's such a hassle getting that tree, and this is so much easier. The thing about Christmas is it's supposed to be a hassle. That's the deal. I mean, you go out and you shop. Like, it's easier. It'd be easier for you to buy Transformers and throw them right in your kid's face, except for you wrap them in paper and put a bow on top of it, and then the kid just rips up the wrapping paper. It's a hassle, but that's the point.
That's how you do it.
I see. I gotcha.
You string popcorn. By the way, can you imagine getting kids to string popcorn?
No.
Bowl of popcorn and some thread they beat the crap out of you with. The point is, everything is a hassle. You don't have, canned turkey. That would be easier. It's a hassle to bake one, but it's a good hassle. And I'm just saying to all the people who don't want the hassle and are tired of the hassle, kill yourself.
Wow.
Think about it. Life is the ultimate hassle. You know who's not being hassled right now?
Who?
Don Meredith.
Oh. Oh, see, because he's dead.
He's gone. He's avoided the ultimate hassle.
So you're suggesting that your good friend Jimmy Kimmel kill himself?
Well, I'm saying...
And Bean.
I'm saying if you really want to avoid the hassle of life, this is the ultimate hassle removal.
All right.
Get that tree... And by the way, the pine needles and the fresh smell and all that, it's all worth it.
I agree.
And then, Bean, what do you do if you have the thing up 300 days out of the year? What the hell are you supposed to do when Christmas comes around?
I'll tell you what I do is starting around the actual holiday season, once we get into mid-November, that's when I start turning the lights on every night and leaving actually lighting it up as a Christmas tree rather than it just being a piece of furniture, which it is the rest of the year.
Oh, well, that is just the three wise men had mine. And by the way, let me say this about the three wise men.
All right.
You need three wise men? I feel like if you're wise, we only need one of you.
That's a good
Maybe
point.
They so wise.
Maybe they Why have, do you need so much backup?
Maybe they have different specialties.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that guy's so smart. Why do we need a backup and then a runner-up to him?
Good point. I think your next book needs to be rewriting the Bible, Ace.
Yeah, not sure if those cats were as wise as we think they were. Number two, did you guys see the Jersey Shore folks on Barbara Walters last night?
I didn't see it. I heard that she picked them as one of their most interesting people of the year, and that's ridiculous.
Fascinating. Oh, those ass clowns are fascinating. But what happened to the 15 minutes of fame? Remember when 15 minutes were 15 minutes?
Yeah, it's gone.
Right.
Yeah,
that's gone. Yeah, if you're famous once, you're famous forever now. You can't get people like Omarosa out of your life anymore.
I know. And what about, how'd you know she was in the room? The point is this. It used to be like, hey, it was Kato Kaelin, and Kato Kaelin was famous for 5 minutes, and then Kato Kaelin is gone now. Now it's like, Remember all those things? Like, remember, like, 5 years ago, you'd be talking about Paris Hilton or Kim Kardashian, and you'd be like, ah, don't worry. She'll be gone. She'll be yesterday's. No, still making millions of dollars a year. And again, on Barbara Walters' show,
yeah.
I believe it. I mean, those shows are set aside for celebrities.
No, not anymore.
Not for people to get punched out at bars, and then doesn't it kind of hurt the credibility of the show? And then what if you're the celebrity that's got to go after the spray-on tan slut that's going on from New Jersey? I mean, does that piss you off if you're Sandra Bullock and you got to go find these a-holes?
That's a good point. It does kind of diminish the honor, doesn't it?
Just a little bit. All right, and number one, I was in Vegas last weekend, and was making that, by the way, there needs to be a rule. I was making the walk from my room to the elevator. You know, they do these things where they put the elevator in the middle,
right,
and then they all branch out, and it's the hub, and you walk down that long spoke. And if your room is at the end, it can be hundreds of miles before you get to that.
That is accurate, yes.
Especially like at places like the MGM, you have to actually pack a lunch.
Yeah, there should be like a rest stop there where you can go to bathroom and have sex with a prostitute, or put a vending machine halfway down the hall. Yeah, there should be like a 2 mile rule, which is there has to be an elevator every 2 miles.
Right.
So that is just an endless treadmill of bad carpet.
That's right.
By the way, that's the same hall where Jimmy's brother, John Kimmel, said, I'm going to close my eyes and run down this hall and see how far I get.
Uh-huh.
He got about 8 feet. He ran right into a piece of corner bead with his forehead.
Oh!
12 stitches.
Oh!
In the middle of his forehead. And you know what's the great thing about being a guy is? I laughed my ass off.
Of course.
Blood was pouring from his forehead.
You can make that 2 miles interesting if you're creative.
He made the first 8 feet a lot of fun, and then he hit the corner beat.
It is crazy. You do need a rest stop at some point halfway. You're absolutely right, Adam.
Yeah, you're like, I need some oxygen and a Sherpa, one of those protein bars and some supplements, and I want an Indian to drag me on one of those things they drag a lean-to behind a horse. Like, it's in a stream where I can get some water. It is absolutely insane how far that is. And so I was walking that. It's 6:15 in the morning last Sunday, leaving Vegas, and started seeing people. I saw two couples, and they were in, like, running gear. And I thought, Jesus Christ, this is obnoxious. I went to bed at 1, and I got people working out at 6 a.m. And then I realized when I got down to the lobby and saw an army of these a-holes, they were in a marathon. They were running a marathon in Vegas, and I thought, marathons have now taken over. Oh, fine, Boston, New York, whatever. But L.A., I don't think so. In Vegas?
Yeah.
In Vegas?
Yeah.
Again, how many people were walking back, broke and hung over at 6 a.m. from that casino after drinking 15 Bloody Marys and smoking two packs of cigarettes and have to pass all these a-holes with their leg warmers on.
They're considering suicide, and these guys are getting ready to run.
Yeah, it really, I'm just saying, every town does not need a goddamn marathon, and especially Las Vegas.
But in the good side, you can run the marathon in one of those hallways. So
I covered the first 6 miles.
There you go. It flies in the face of what Vegas is all about. You're right. You can see Adam Carolla live on stage, and why wouldn't you want to, at the Irvine Improv December 16th through 19th. It is a phenomenal live show. You will laugh your ass off, and don't make any other plans before you've checked out Adam's show at New Year's Eve at the El Portal Theater in North Hollywood. And next week, when we talk to you, Ace Man, I understand you have a very special deal for Adam Carolla fans, something that they're going to love for New Year's Eve that's going to make it a night to remember. Have a great weekend, dude. Will we see you at Acoustic Christmas this weekend, or are you taking some time off?
Oh, geez. I don't know if I'll be back before then.
Adam doesn't know where he is or where he's going.
That's true. We'll catch up with you next week, but buddy. Thanks a lot for coming on, all right?
Yes.
Our friend Petros Papadakis joins us coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show after the top of the hour. And I have a feeling, Ralph, that sometime in the next 15, 20 minutes, I have a feeling our Naked with Grandma winner is going to arrive as well.
I know. They're racing to the studio as we speak. There's a couple people who have photos, so.
Cool. Tickets for both nights in the pit for Almost Acoustic Christmas for the first listener that shows up at the Kevin and Bean Studios with a picture of you taken today. You are naked. Your grandma is or is not, but you are in a photo together. So that's what we're looking
for. If your grandma is, Ralph will buy you a hot dog.
I will.
That,
That was the rule.
Right.
That's not happened. A hot dog.
Speaking of Ralph, time for another look at the showbiz beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's happening?
Well, TMZ just is the most fun website. Just so much fun. One of my favorites.
I hear you.
And they get the stuff. They get the scoop. They get the fangs. And the fang they got this morning going on is a little video of a young lady named Miley Cyrus. Hitting the bong.
Yeah.
Like a person coming out of the desert hits a water fountain.
Beef bong?
Not the beef bong, no. It's just a glass bong.
It's a pretty nice one.
It's a sweet bong.
It's a sweet bong.
It's well crafted.
It's high quality.
Yeah.
Now, even though she's 18 now, this is still way illegal, right?
Well, you would think so, Bean. But what Miley's reps are saying, they've gone past the point of trying to deny the fact that she is just working that bong like she works a pole at a Nickelodeon Awards show. They claim, oh, it's just salvia. It's
Ooh,
not pot.
Because it's
salvia,
legal.
Because salvia is legal.
Ah, nice.
Now, when you see the video, yeah. Dave and I were examining it in the office.
And there's audio,
salvia
too.
Looks like a lot of fun.
There's audio, audio, so you can hear her talking and laughing with us.
She does seem semi-reasonable, semi-sober before she hits it.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, it's that hit that there's a difference between if you've ever seen anyone smoke pot versus salvia. Pot, you get stoned and you get happy and you get giddy. Salvia hits you like a ton of bricks and makes you just lose your mind.
You're not suggesting
but
that.
For like a minute, and then it wears off pretty quickly. It's like doing whippets or something. It's like huffing, you know? It's like that quick high.
Cheap death.
And so by her reaction, it could very well be salvia. I don't know, they could be telling the truth in this particular case. Whatever. If I'm Miley Cyrus, I am not taking a bong to my face when someone's got the video camera on me.
She doesn't care. And she doesn't care what people think about her anymore.
It's more than she doesn't care. Like, she knows it's there.
She's performing to the camera. Yeah, she's talking into the camera.
She's doing it on purpose.
She's like, I'm having a bad trip. Is that my boyfriend? Looks just like my boy. Ah, I'm tripping. Anyway, here's a little audio from the TMZ video of Miley getting stoned out of her gourd.
We've all been at. Okay, I'm about to lose it now. Just lay down, my dear.
Oh my God.
Sounds like El Chumbo.
And you know what's going on? You know what's going on in the room? Zero. There's nothing going on. There's not people running around in craziness.
Like eight people sitting around a coffee table.
Just watching her
smoke a bong. Yeah. Oh, Miley.
Oh, good for her.
Oh, Miley.
She is going to have the most fascinating life in the world. She's only 18.
Whore.
Who knows where.
Yeah, she's going to
be the most spectacular spiral in show business history. Is what's going to
happen? Yeah, she's going to be on Celebrity Rehab in 2011.
She may. She's going for the goal. She's going for the.
She really is.
The award of being the youngest member of Celebrity Rehab ever. She's shooting for that.
You have to give it to her for credit. You know the amount of energy that she's putting into the spiral.
Yes.
Yeah, but nothing would surprise me when I see a Miley Cyrus story now. I mean, honestly, if I went on TMZ today and she was doing a swan dive off of off of Mount Rushmore, it wouldn't surprise me at this point. She's just crazy.
That would surprise me a little because I didn't know you could get up on top of Mount Rushmore.
You know what? It's an indicator for me that she's in a bad way. She has hired David Hasselhoff as her life coach. And I think that may be,
wow.
That'd be a bad move.
That's not
to
good.
Have him as a mentor. I kid Dave, but I feel bad for him, actually.
Why?
Well, it's time to hassle the Hoff.
It's time to hassle the Hoff.
Hoff.
David Hasselhoff's new reality series, The Hasselhoffs, did not do well in its debut. The ratings were not good. The second episode didn't even do as well as that. The third episode will not be seen.
They won't even play it?
They've canceled the series, The Hasselhoffs, A&E has, after two episodes.
But they burn off the ones that they already have.
No, there are eight more episodes of the show that will never be seen.
And those two episodes, by the way, aired back-to-back on night one, right?
Yeah.
So they gave it 1 hour of time.
Ratings for the second half hour dipped nearly 40% from what the first ones were.
Look, I love The Hoff, and I was excited about the show, and it was terrible.
It was worse than terrible. I mean, yeah, this is really, I don't know why they ever put it on.
It wasn't fun.
It got a 500,000 viewers, the second episode. Just to give you some context in the world of basic cable, the Joe Schmo show got about 2 million viewers per episode.
And what did he get?
We were not highly rated. He got a 500,000 viewers.
Wow.
So we did four times better than Hasselhoff.
Hey, my name's Matt. I was wondering, how do you deal and react to negative press, such as like the hamburger incident?
It was a wake-up call that led me to quit drinking, but I'm still addicted to cheeseburgers.
Wait a minute.
Oh, Dave!
Oh, no, he no didn't.
Way! You are a no card, way! And you need to be dealt
and
with.
And that got canceled?
Yeah, can you believe it?
Wow.
And it looks like I'm going to have some pretty good company in January when I'm at the Sundance Film Festival.
Yeah, we're all coming.
Nope.
It's going to be great.
We're all broadcasting live from Utah. Right?
Incorrect. Not happening. Will not be the case.
It's going to be a great time.
No, it shan't.
Can't wait.
It shan't be. However, I will be hobnobbing with, let me see who I'll be hanging out with. Well, you know, Seth Rogen, Elijah Wood, Danny McBride, Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly, and Jack Black.
Wow.
Because those guys are all starring in a short film that has been made by the Beastie Boys.
Really?
It is an extended remake of the Fight for Your Right to Party video.
Awesome.
It's called Fight for Your Right Revisited. And it's the basic premise of the video. If you remember that video, it's those nerds saying, I hope no bad people come to this party. And the Beastie Boys come in and then all hell breaks loose.
Sure.
Because you got to fight for your right to party. Well,
your mom busted in and said, what's her name? Oh, mommy just jealous. It's a big and rich boy.
Beastie Boys, huh?
You got.
No, that's not the case.
What?
This won't be the big and rich remake of Fight for Your Right. It's going to be an extended version of the video, which makes it a short film that will be doing making its premiere, its debut at Sundance at the film festival.
Awesome.
So that'll be pretty cool.
We're looking forward to interviewing all those people when we're broadcasting live.
You won't
be awesome.
There, though, however, because
we're going to have to support your movie at the Sundance
Film
Festival.
We're good.
With
Thanks, you
and Smith.
Thanks. You know how you can support it? Go see it. That's how we'd like you to
support. We're going to do that, too.
No.
At Sundance.
That's enough. That's plenty. That's good.
We're going to see it at Sundance. We're going to hang out, Ralph.
No, you should pay for it when it comes out.
We're going to party.
Oh, we'll do that, too, though.
We're going to be your entourage. Just us and you, man.
Well, Dave is turtle. I've always said, Dave is turtle.
He's going to have to start tweeting now about his clothing.
Mike is Johnny Drama. That's for sure.
That is true.
Speaking of Red State and Kevin Smith, come see us tonight, won't you, at the John Lovitz Comedy Club up at Universal City Walk. 8 o'clock tonight, we're doing the Hollywood Babylon show, which is much like the Showbiz Beat, only I get interrupted less, believe it or not. And we do it for a couple hours, and we have a good time, and a lot of people show up. And there's booze and food, and it's quite the adventure. So go to Babylon Ralph or BabylonKev.com, and you can see all the details and buy tickets there. These are the people who were born today, December the 10th. Michael Clark Duncan, 53 years old.
Pussy.
Celebrity birthdays. I guess you can say that now and not worry about repercussions, can't you?
Right. Yep.
Kenneth Branagh, legendary actor, director, Shakespearean extraordinaire. 50 years old today. Meg White of the White Stripes is 36 years old today.
Kevin Bean Lester Sean writes in, keep ringing the bell for Meg White. You're right. She's hella hot. The other guys are crazy for not seeing it. Thank you,
Sean.
He
used the word hella. You shut up.
He's hella right also.
She's not. Look.
She's not hot.
I don't want to be mean to her.
No, she's great. We love her.
But she's not even hot.
No.
She's super attractive.
I mean, she's not even in.
And it appears that she's bled out. I don't know. I don't know what happened. Apparently, she nicked an artery, but she is she's a ghost.
Yeah, she
will be mine.
She does not have blood anymore. That is true.
Emmanuel Shariki. There's
Sargon
Weekend on his Bellworthy. He's 33 years old today. And actress Raven Simone is 25. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Two sold-out shows this weekend. The Almost Acoustic Christmas concerts are finally here. Congratulations to Angela Wisdom, who just won tickets on the phones. And now congratulations to, is it Julie or Julia that just showed up?
Julie or Julia, can you hear us?
Petrus, can you help her with her with your headphones there?
I'm on top of it.
There you go. I bet you are.
How about that?
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Petrus Papadakis from Petrus and Money here in studio.
Also here.
And just by coincidence, at the same time you showed up, a Kevin Bean listener showed up.
No, I brought her.
who just got her picture taken naked with grandma. Tell us, Julie, about hearing us talk about that first thing this morning, what the thought process was. How'd you make this happen?
Oh, my God. Okay, so my mom came in at, like, 6 o'clock this morning, and I'm asleep already, and she's just like, naked picture with grandma! And
Wait a minute. You ran in and woke your mom up?
No, my mom came in and woke me up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it because your mom wanted to go to the concerts?
Yes.
What?
I know it's for my mom.
Oh, my God.
Wait, okay. So your mom came in and said, Kevin and Bean are doing Naked with Grandma.
Naked with Grandma, let's get naked. Naked with Grandma, let's get naked. Get naked with Grandma. Get naked with Grandma, yeah.
Now, how exactly did she explain the contest to you?
She just said, naked picture with grandma.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's go.
Now, do you live with grandma?
I don't. So we had to drive to my grandma's. My grandma didn't have a choice. So she was taking
okay,
this picture.
Because she doesn't know what's happening? Or she has Alzheimer's. She has no idea who you are?
Oh, no. She knew.
She knew.
All she knew was, or all she said was, do I have to be pretty or ugly? Just like, do yourself up real quick, and then we'll take the picture.
Okay, so is this your mom's mother? Is that whose house you went to?
Yes.
Okay, so you guys said to your grandmother, listen, we're trying to win tickets to a concert. We're going to take a photograph. You need to be in the photograph, but oh, here's the part I almost forgot to mention. I have to be naked.
Yeah.
And she was down with that.
Yeah,
God bless grandma.
Huh?
I said, God bless grandma that she was down with that.
Okay. Yeah.
I understand your mom wants to go to the show, and that's great and all. And she must have a really good relationship with her mother. But doesn't she at all mind that she was essentially pimping out naked pictures of you to grown men? Her daughter?
Well, we can't do anything with it. But
no, but I mean, like, she's essentially influencing you to get naked, take pictures of it, and bring it to men.
Oh, when you make it like that, Mike. Why do you have to put it in that context?
Let's not make it ugly.
Can't we make it a fun and enjoyable thing? You just played the song.
Exactly.
I was spending quality time with my mother. I wanted to do this for my mother.
Now, did you have a robe on when you showed up at grandma's house? Like, did you just go, like, and disrobe like an escort would, or did you just wear your clothes?
As soon as I walked in the door, I was just like, all right, let's do this.
Let's do this. All right, yeah. And your grandma was down. It sounds to me like your mom rules with an iron fist. Like, you
no
do what
kidding.
She does.
Whoa.
No, I'm saying, you do what she does, her mom does what she does, like, everybody does what mom wants.
Yeah, it seems like mom orchestrated the entire
if
thing.
If mom's not happy, nobody's happy.
Okay.
Wow. Now, Julia, who actually goes to the show? Or is your mom at least taking you, since you're the one who did the work and won the tickets?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm going. I'm taking my mom with me, though.
Okay, well, that's nice. So, Smashing Pumpkins, Social Distortion, My Chemical Romance, Bad Religion, Jimmy Eat World, Cake, Data, Remember, Dirty Heads, Amberlin. That's only half. Then there's Phoenix, Vampire Weekend, Brandon Flowers, Black Keys, Temper Trap, Neon Trees, Florence and the Machine, Edward Sharp, Broken Bells, and Switchfoot. You and your mom are going to be seeing all of those just because you were willing to make porn this morning.
Now, are these pit tickets?
Yes, they are.
So your mom's cool. Mom, you cool? Yeah. All right, she's cool. Thumbs up. She's going
to
rough some people up night one. She's really going to just smash some people in the pit.
All right, Julia, don't listen to this part. Has anyone seen the photos? How's the picture?
I haven't seen them.
I caught a glimpse. I have great peripheral vision from my running back days
when
at USC. And I caught a small glimpse.
Okay.
I caught a small. It's very tasteful.
Is it done?
You know, it could be like the cover of a Vanity Fair.
Can it be proven that it was done today?
I don't know how you could prove that.
Is this the photo? Are we looking at the photo now?
This is the photo.
Kevin's got it.
Grandma's got both hands on her sides of her face, like, oh,
yeah,
what's going on?
Kind of a Home Alone pose from Grandma.
Yeah.
We have a wonderful job.
Oh, it's
Asian
beautiful.
Girls, Asian
beautiful.
Girls will take naked pictures and bring them to you.
Yeah,
I got to tell you that.
And she has a tattoo?
I do.
Yeah, she's got a tattoo on her back.
Well, Julia, here's the best part about this whole thing. First of all, thank you for participating. Thank you for winning the tickets. But what's hilarious is what? Like 2 minutes after Julia arrived, some poor guy who talked his grandma into posing for a photo with him today showed up. He was late. He was second. He doesn't win the tickets.
He got a picture taken with his grandma.
Yes, he did.
All right.
Yes, he did. But we said first come, first serve. So Julia is the winner this time. So
and everybody's a winner when you have quality time with one of the elders in the family.
Correct.
That's right.
What you want is that kind of bonding.
Right.
And that's the important message here today, P. Thank you very much.
Well,
for putting
my grandma
in
used to wash us all up and measure us.
You're right, but that's
it's a very Greek thing. You know, you measure and you rate the children by the men in the family.
Rate?
You rate the children
by
the size of their genitalia.
Is that
what
true?
What are you talking about?
That's, other people don't do that? That's a whole. Is that just a Greek thing? because that's what we would do.
So mom calls you large, medium, and small?
No, my grandmother.
Oh, grandmother. She,
and the great-grandmother. My
Wait, Yadanda. They measure?
Yeah, well, they would wash us up and grease us down, and then we'd stand in the bath all lined up, and that we would be rated. And you have a special Greek name if you had the biggest in the family.
What's going on here, Mr. Queermo?
That's all a right. great question. This has gone south quickly.
I'm sorry. You, I didn't mean to.
Let's talk about both nights of Acoustic Christmas, tomorrow and Sunday, and you're going to be there. Congratulations, Julia.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming down. And tell your grandma thanks for playing along and being such a good sport. We'll see you tomorrow, all right?
All right.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 23 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Because that's what I want to talk about.
TV's Batman, the great Adam West, joins us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, a guy we like almost as much, our friend Petros Papadakis from the Petros and Money nationally syndicated radio show.
Hi, joins everybody.
Us. Great to see you, P. I'm afraid this will probably be the last time we see you before the holidays, but it's thank you once again for coming in all year long. We've really enjoyed talking to you.
I love being here, and I drive up here, and I love to see you guys. And today, I got a bonus naked shot. Right. A woman,
so there you go,
standing with her horrified grandmother, and I got to see the whole family, and that was pretty special for me. And I got to tell a story about my own family.
That's true,
which I wish we hadn't heard. The reason we wanted to have you on is I saw an article last week that made me sit up and take notice when it mentioned in the article that there are now 35 college football games. And they need so you need 70 teams to field the lineup for 35 college bowl games.
Yeah.
And some of those teams were not even decided, like my beloved University of Washington, were not even decided until last week because they hadn't won enough games to even be bowl eligible.
You have to win six games and only have one FCS opponent on your schedule, Bean, to qualify for one of these wonderful bowl games.
Let's go back to how it's been for 100 years, which is the dumb, like, five bowl system. How long ago was that?
How long ago was the five bowl system?
Six, seven, whatever.
Well, I think that there were fewer bowls.
Orange Bowl, Sugar Bowl,
Rose Bowl, and then the Sun Bowl,
right.
And then more bowls.
Cotton
bowls.
But for the most part, that was kind of it. You had to make those bowls.
It was for a
bowls.
Long time, but then you had the Gator Bowl, the Peach Bowl, and then all of a sudden the Pool and Weed Eater Bowl came out of nowhere. And here comes the Meineke Car Care Bowl, and look out! It's a hot air balloon right behind you with the New Mexico Bowl, San Diego Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl, because we already had the Holiday Bowl. Now, I remember the Holiday Bowl when it was just the whack. Versus the Big 12 or the Big 8, the WAC versus the Big 8 or a Pac-10 team, the old Holiday Bowl. And invariably, going to every break, it was a football team standing in front of Shamu popping out of the water. It's like, hey, we'll be right back, the Holiday Bowl, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, let me ask you,
splash!
Let me ask you this question. There is only one bowl game that really matters, which is the BCS championship.
According to the BCS, yes. One versus two, BCS championship game four, the Crystal Ball in Glendale,
and that's Auburn
Arizona.
That's Auburn versus Oregon, and that's on January 10th.
Correct.
Now,
and the BCS did have a pretty good run this year. There are only six power conferences that automatically qualify for the BCS. And yes, I said automatic week. Go ahead and make fun of that. I have a lisp.
We will.
And that is number one versus number two. Two undefeated teams. Only two undefeated teams from the automatic qualifying conferences. The BCS got it right this year, so people should be pleased about that.
No one's complaining.
Okay,
so no one's complaining.
Thank you.
But I'm saying that's the one of the 35 that means anything. The rest of them...
The rest of them mean...
Are for what?
Money.
Money. It's just
for money.
For making money.
The same reason that anybody ever plays a football game and people show up and buy hot dogs and there's commercials and there's Bud Light and there's bands and there's a queen that flips the coin if you're at the Sun Bowl. See, I played in the Sun Bowl and the queen of El Paso or something came out to flip the coin.
Right.
And I'm not going to lie, she was a cow.
Really?
I mean, and she had pit stains on her pastel dress.
Oh, wow.
And I walked out for the coin flip, and I was just like, wow, this is sad.
It was sort of like low rent.
Well, I had been in Juarez 5 hours before.
And that
wasn't good.
Yeah.
That was a bad scene.
Okay, but now they have, starting December 18th.
Yes.
They have 35 bowl games.
Right, and you will watch them because it's what's on TV. Why not enjoy the game? The pageantry and color of college football. What's wrong with you guys?
But P, something like the BBVA Compass Bowl, which is
man.
A real bowl in
it's
Birmingham, Alabama. Okay. That game, that the only
Don't
reason
you want
that
to go to Birmingham this time of year? Do you know how beautiful it is?
The only reason that exists is because there's money to be made. No one really cares about Kentucky versus Pittsburgh, right?
I care. The people at Pitcare, they just lost their head coach, Dave Wannstedt. And let's have some perspective here. This time of year, that's when the ice plant blooms in Birmingham. You got to see it. And what about the Beefo Brady St. Petersburg Bowl?
All right, now there really is a Beefo Brady St. Petersburg Bowl.
Southern Miss versus DeVille.
But isn't there some sort of regulating body in college football that says,
yeah,
stop
the BCS
it, America?
And no one cares.
Okay,
it's enough.
Care.
It's too much.
What about the Udrow Humanitarian Bowl?
How could it be too much when there's TV deals and people watch this stuff during the holiday season? What's wrong with watching a bowl game? What's wrong with the kids having an extra game to play and getting a free sweatsuit out of it and seeing beautiful places all over the country like Southern Mississippi versus Louisville and St. Petersburg, Florida, or the Insight Bowl in Tempe, Arizona, in Sun Devil Stadium. Come
on. Let me put it another way.
What, Shreveport, Louisiana's got the AdvoCare V100 Independence Bowl?
What do you get if you're playing for my Terrapins, by the way, and they're playing against East Carolina in the Military Bowl? Let's say you win that. There's no trophy. There's no parade. There's nothing, right?
If you guys want to get technical
with
it.
Sent over to Iraq.
College football teams. You get your head chopped off by a chopper blade. College football teams like to go to bowl games because, A, it's money for the conference, it's money for the university, it's money for the program. But there's also another reason that internally works for the football team. What? When you have a bowl game, you get 15 more practices. Remember, practice time is regulated, and you only get spring practice in college football later in the year. So you have 15 more practices to work your young people, get them more acclimated with the system.
Oh, for next year?
Yes, actually coach in pads and get these guys going, moving you into spring football. So those extra practices mean a world of difference for a college football team as far as preparing for the following year. And I know that sounds very minute to you guys, but it's actually a huge deal within football programs. So if you can get a bowl game, the revenue's great, and the experience for your team is great going into the next season.
But what do you win if you win the Bridgeport Education Holiday Bowl?
A plaque of some kind.
That says education is important?
Yeah. And you say, hey, we won that. Hey, remember we won this bowl game?
We won the education bowl.
Remember the touchdown we had? We got a couple extra highlights in our reel. Everything's going well.
We have to take a break with our guest, Petros Papadakis. Just real quick, you mentioned that the BCS got it right, or maybe they just got lucky because Boise State and other teams ended up losing a game. But Auburn versus Oregon is the game people want to see. And my sense is that if you live in the western United States, you're pulling for Oregon. If you live in the eastern United States, you're pulling for Auburn. Is that too simplistic?
Brilliant.
That's why Bean does sports radio.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though, because this is not Jim Tressel with his sweater vest or Nick Saban and his feathered hair or Pete Carroll and his giant chin. This isn't all these coaches that we've come to know and appreciate as the giants of college football. This is Gene Chizik, who was at Iowa State 2 years ago, and Chip Kelly, who was in New Hampshire 3 years ago, two guys that did not come up in the normal coaching ranks. So that's an interesting matchup just there. And the teams are very similar with the way they play offense, but they look very different. And you have Oregon and all their wacky unis up in the corner of the country and the Nike stuff.
I have an Oregon fan friend.
Yeah.
I want to kill him.
He's annoying.
Yeah.
See, I like Chip Kelly because he's a real weirdo and a real football purist. That's the Oregon head coach.
Okay.
And he's an amazing guy. And I think he's a cyborg. Because Nike just built him and gave him a backstory like the witness protection program. Because there is no good reason that a guy who was an offensive coordinator in New Hampshire, not even a Division I school 3 years ago, would show up in Eugene, Oregon and take over that program and become one of the most exciting, innovative coaches in the history of college football.
Unless he's an actual cyborg.
He got to be. Because I go in his office, and I spend a lot of time with the guy.
Yeah.
I go into his office, and he's got this beautiful office. You can imagine how beautiful Eugene, Oregon is.
Sure.
The rolling hills,
Oregon's
and the
beautiful.
Green and all these different things. He's got the most beautiful view in all of Oregon, the biggest office, and the windows are always blacked out. And he's always just watching film and freaking out. It's just, yeah. It's
so he's
strange.
Not human. That's
I don't think
saying.
He's real.
Okay.
There's just no reason
that?
He should be real.
Okay. All right.
And all Chizik right. is, you know, he's an angry Southern dude. It'll be fun. It'll be a good game. And I like Oregon in this game. But Oregon, if you have time to prepare for their offense, if you have time to prepare for your offense, usually they do a little better, like Ohio State did last year in the Rose Bowl.
So it's not till January 10th.
We have plenty of time to talk about it if you want to bring me back.
Well, we would like we'd like to take a break right now.
Because we can get into the zone read and the mesh and the backfield, man.
Yes.
And
yes.
We can really go through that.
We'll do that on the podcast. 98.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 20 minutes till 9 o'clock.
Yeah, it is.
Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up in a couple of minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The great Adam West, TV's Batman, next half hour. Right now, we're spending time with our friend Petros Papadakis from the nationally syndicated P&M show. By the way, Petros, I wanted to ask you a couple things real quick, since we don't have a sports guy, because our station doesn't think that our listeners care about sports.
Well, you know, I was thinking about getting fired. And I was thinking, like, if I got fired, do you think Kevin and Bean would have me? I kind of had that own, I kind of had that conversation in my own mind.
Yeah, we would.
Yeah.
Do you want to make money, though?
No.
Okay,
no,
then, yeah,
no.
We'd have you.
That's not important to me.
We'd have you.
I have often thought, and we're going off script here a little bit, but I have often thought that when the day comes where so many people will be delighted that there's no more Kevin and Bean show, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Petros and Money Morning show here.
My goodness. All right, come on.
I'm telling you.
Ridiculous thing. I think
it'd be good. Our people love you. But here's what I want to ask you. Real quick, because we only have time to scattershot, hit a couple of things here. The NBA now owns the New Orleans Hornets, and they're going to move them to another city?
Yeah, they might move them to Seattle.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Oh, that's what they say. They might move them to Seattle. Yeah, the owner in New Orleans is like a really, really bad owner. And this is unfortunate, because I really like the city of New Orleans. And I think they should have their Hornets. That's what they call them.
The Hornets.
I like the Hornets. They got their Hornets. But, you know, there should be a team in Seattle. It's a great NBA town. I saw a guy. Last time I was in Seattle, I saw a guy with a T-shirt that had, like, the Seattle Supersonics logo on it. And instead of Supersonics, it said, Robbed. And I don't know, maybe I was drunk, I was at the airport, but I remember talking to the guy. I was like, yeah, man, you got robbed, man. I was really emotional about it. So, yeah, man, move the Hornets. Move them up there, Bean.
Seattle had a team for 34 years, and they did win an NBA championship.
That's right, with Lenny Wilkins.
That's right. They won in 79, lost in 80, or the other way around. But the point is, this is what happens with so many sports teams, is it comes down to having a facility. It costs a darn much to build a new place, and that's why the Sonics left, is because they didn't have a new venue. And taxpayers weren't going to pay for a new venue. That would be the same problem if they try to move another team in here.
Well, something will have to give. You guys do have those two new venues there. You got the new football stadium there. You got the new baseball stadium there.
But wait, just
there.
Because there's a bad owner, does the NBA take over? Because if that's the case, why doesn't the NFL take over the Raiders?
It's complex. You know what I mean? It's more complex. Well, why wouldn't the NFL take over the Dallas Cowboys? Even though they make a lot of money, the owner messes up the team every single year. I think it's contractual and it gets complex. But David Stern, I think in this situation, got a lot of hubris going, trying to be godlike. And if they do move them to Seattle, I think that would be great. If they stay in New Orleans, that would be great. Whatever works for the team financially, whatever's best.
Okay, new topic. Speaking of owners, the Dodgers.
Oh.
The McCourts are in court. I guess the ruling last week was that Frank said, no, the team is all mine. You don't have any claim to it just because we're divorcing. And the judge said that's not correct. She does have a claim to it. But we don't know how it's eventually going to play out. What do you think is going to happen?
I think they're taking steps toward having to liquidate their assets and split them up half and half, just like everybody else has to do in California.
Good. So
in
they'll
these
have
situations.
To sell the team.
Yes, I'm
Good.
Rooting for chaos. If you think the McCourts are an embarrassment to
us
as a city, in Los Angeles, they absolutely are. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
It's not just in the city. I mean, any owners that do this to their sports franchise and to the fans of that city, whatever.
And we're just talking about the Hornets and the Seattle Supersonics. And with all due respect, fine, these are franchises, major sports. But the Dodgers are the Yankees, are the Lakers, are the Cowboys.
I agree.
The Dodgers are one of the great and most storied franchises of all time in sports. And the fact that these people, Frank and Jamie McCourt from Boston.
Boston.
They sickened me just to look at them. That Bud Selig, the commissioner of the MLB, fast-tracked these two to own the Dodgers. I don't know how bad Fox was messing it up, but it couldn't have been that bad that they were fast-tracked to own the Dodgers, and they have become a complete embarrassment with their divorce. If somebody owns a franchise, they have to be what the McCourts describe themselves as, stewards of the franchise to the people of the city. The Dodgers are a huge deal to all of us that grew up or live in Los Angeles, and to be doing this, dragging the team through the mud, using the team and the franchise as leverage in your stupid, petty, ridiculous, rich, Bostonian, white, plastic surgery dumbass divorce, that they're doing that, that they're using our team in that, it is a travesty. So if you're rooting for the Dodgers, you're rooting for the liquidation of the McCourt's assets and split them up so we can get somebody or some group in here to own the team or at least temporarily take care of the team until they can get the team in the hands of somebody that's going to be able to handle their business like a freaking rich person that's not a tabloid monger hooker piece of crap like the McCourt family is. They make me
USA,
sick.
USA! USA! USA!
And McCourt's going to be sitting here in the next few weeks and months and saying, Era, my boys, Era, what about their dream to own the franchise? Era, my sons, Era, Era. To hell with your sons and to hell with your stupid divorce. Sell the team, you loser, you chowder-headed idiot.
What are your plans for the holidays, Pete?
I don't know. I don't drink a lot. I drink heavy.
Still married?
Yes, I am still married.
Planning on keeping that going through the holidays?
I'm trying my damnedest to stay married. I took two extra Prozacs this morning.
You still getting swole? Still in the P90X?
You know what? Today, I'm going to do some clap push-ups.
Yeah!
I'm going to get home and I'm going to do some clap push-ups.
And then you're going to drink.
And then I'm going to drink hard. Right. Sometimes I drink between push-ups. But you know, I don't smoke cigarettes anymore.
Bolster the fast switch before you hit the booze.
Oh, yeah. Hey, don't... don't push up. Push down.
Yeah!
Push down into the ground.
Wherever you are in this great nation of ours, check your local listings or go to petrosandmoney.com to find out where the Petros and Money radio show is on. P, have a great holiday season, man. Thanks a lot for coming in.
I'm going to do some pec deck, too. Get my pecs going.
Quite a week for you, Ralph Garman, to be with one dad, Hugh Hefner, a couple days ago doing an interview. And then with another dad, Adam West, coming up on the show next half hour.
Adam's more like my brother.
Is he? He's like 85 years old.
I know. He's like my old brother.
Your parents really had a long break in between.
Because Adam isn't like a dad guy.
No, he's not.
He's
more like a friend.
He's
like
a wacky,
buddy.
Funny guy that you hang out with and you're laughing all the time because he's just such a loon.
Yeah, you hope that when you get old, you're like him.
He is so cool and so funny and so active, and he's still doing Family Guy and slaying it there. And, of course, he'll always be Batman. But he does other stuff. He's painting, and he's got other kinds of things in the works. He's such a cool guy.
Adam West, Adam West. A little bit softer now. Adam West, Adam West, Adam West, Adam West.
If someone had come up to 10-year-old Ralph Garman, little Ralphie, and said, one day you're going to be buddies with Adam West. You're going to have his phone number. You're going to be with him on Facebook, whatever that is. It hasn't been invented yet. You're going to hang out together and be actual friends. What would you have thought?
Well, it depends on who's coming up to me. If it's you, I'm calling the cops or looking for the nearest authority figure I can get a hold of because I'm afraid you're going to touch me.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
If it was me coming up to me, then I'd be like, you're kidding me. You're so cool. I'm so glad I grew up to be you. It would have been a big deal.
Yeah.
And it
hey,
is deal.
Baby. Want to take a gander at some Adam West penis?
That's next half hour of the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Well, early today we were talking about the anniversary of Playboy magazine. 57 years ago today, it published its very first episode featuring a nude Marilyn Monroe photo that made it pretty much at one time the biggest magazine in history. And
now that was the get at that moment, yeah, right?
Could not have been a more opportune meeting of the right time and the right publication and the right guy running it and the right content. It put that magazine on the map, and it's been a staple in America ever since. Well, this comes to us from listener Paul, who's often giving us very cool showbiz stories. And no, not Paul Lee. Paul Hanlon, different Paul. NBC has announced today that they are planning a hour-long drama set in the world of the 1960s Playboy clubs.
All right,
now if you're
I'm
not
down.
Familiar with the Playboy clubs, back in the day when Playboy was at its zenith of popularity, there were private clubs all over the world, 22 different clubs, where you had to pay to be a member. It was a members-only club, and you go in there with your buddies for cocktails after work or what have you, and you were served cocktails by beautiful, busty women dressed in Playboy bunny costumes.
They went to a Playboy club on an episode of The Mad Men this season, remember?
That's where the bunny came from. Whenever you see that iconic Playboy bunny costume, a girl wearing it at a Halloween party or something, that's how the girls dressed as waitresses in the Playboy club.
Was there more
in the Playboy clubs, or was it just service?
It was just service, you pig.
There was no champagne room, Kevin. It wasn't like that.
It was not a strip club. I'm just asking.
No, they would have like high-end entertainment. They would have the hottest jazz bands in there, and they'd have the hottest comedians. They'd have showrooms. It was like a Vegas nightclub, but it was in cities all over the world. New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, New Orleans, Miami, and all over the world. There were 22 clubs all over at the peak of the Playboy clubs, and they've since gone away. The only one I've ever been to is the one in Vegas.
Yeah.
The Playboy Club in Vegas, which isn't a membership-only club. It's sort of part of the casino there at the Palms, but it's a great, great,
but it's BS because you sit down and play blackjack, and you'll lose hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
It's genius.
Because you don't care because she's so hot.
Have you ever been happier to lose a blackjack in your life than you are at the Playboy Club?
I don't even know if I'm winning or losing.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't even matter.
Just don't pay any attention.
And you sit there, and you get bottle service at the table, and the girl comes over, and she's dressed in the Playboy bunny outfit, and they do the little bunny dip and everything. Yeah. Anyway, it was the hottest thing on the planet back in the 60s, and based on the popularity of TV shows like AMC's Mad Men, NBC is doing a series about what it was like to live and work in one of the Playboy clubs.
All right.
Clever idea.
I wish it was Showtime or HBO, but okay.
Yeah, me too. No friend.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Of course, isn't it?
That's cool news. Miley Cyrus in the news today. Everyone's talking about this story that appeared on TMZ this morning.
This is great.
It's Miley rocking a bong that her people claim was filled with salvia, not weed, because salvia is legal. Weed is not. And if you see the way that she reacts, I believe that it is salvia. Because salvia, it gives you an immediate high that is almost psychedelic. It takes you right out of your head. And from
now, the rush is much faster than the weed.
And it's harder and weirder. And judging from her reaction after she smokes it, I would say that they're probably telling the truth. You got to see the video for yourself. But here's a little taste of the audio of Miley after she smokes the bong. Losing her mind.
Yeah, and there's nothing going on in the room.
Nothing.
No,
just
people,
her. I was just watching her do this.
People back. Okay, I'm about to lose it now.
Just lay down, my dear.
Having a little bit of a bad trip.
Really?
Yeah, nothing funny.
You're gonna break when you see this. Oh yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh yeah, girl. Get it.
Oh, more of that. I swear.
Yeah,
she wanted more.
Tragically, right after that video, they had to put her down. So that was sad.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. Well, she's foaming at the mouth. She clearly had rabies.
Yes.
You're right. You said earlier it sounds like she's recording her own cover of the Chaka Ron song.
Yeah.
She's so nonsense. It's so nonsense. Whew. Love
Scary
it.
Scary stuff.
Crazy.
I did see Miley Cyrus in 3D on my TV.
Right,
when I
really?
Her concert.
Go? Yeah.
And I used the old-fashioned regular 3D glasses.
The old
I didn't
ones,
go out
right.
and get the special ones.
Right.
And the regular 3D glasses actually worked.
Wow,
it was
really
good. She was like, she was on my lap. She was like singing on my lap.
Was she?
And she's hosting, I guess, the award, the Teen Awards.
Right. Yeah.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
How many times a week is Chris Hansen over at Rodney's house, do you think?
Never. Not once.
Not once.
That's why I was asking. I was just wondering.
Never heard of
you ever thought it was ever going to happen?
Not once.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Born on this day, December 10th. Michael Clark Duncan, 53 years old today. Kenneth Branagh is 50 years old. Meg White of the White Stripes turns 36. Nice, Kevin. You're right there.
I was ready.
Sweet.
I don't have that one backwards, sorry.
Right, Bean's got that handle all by himself. He's got that one backwards.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Shariki.
Oh.
He's 33 years old.
Let's clarify. Bean is attracted to Meg White.
Very much so.
The rest of us can't understand that.
Right.
Because you're
fine.
Blind.
And we don't begrudge him his attraction.
Right.
But when you're the steward of the bell, when that's your responsibility.
The bell speaks for all of us.
That's right. You can't just take it upon yourself to start randomly hitting the bell for whomever you might find attractive.
And stupid Bean knows that we don't want the bell rung, and he rings it many, many times.
Yeah, refuses right. to play by the
Skin
rules.
Like a China doll, and bosom's still Tuesday.
This is why I've often brought it up, and we don't seem to ever spend any time really seriously considering it. But maybe for the new year, we have to reconsider who gets to work the bell.
Listen, I think that's fair.
Because this has been a consistent problem that has happened over and over and over again.
It has to be somebody who cares about the group.
And at what point do you say enough's enough,
right,
and you take that responsibility away from someone who keeps abusing it?
I'm with you. All right, let me ask you guys this question. What percentage of the time do you have a conflict with my choice of who to ring the bell for?
Too much.
Be
honest. That much. Too much.
Is it half of 1%?
No.
Is it 2%?
No. It happens too often. That's for sure.
Here's the thing.
Whatever that number is.
But honestly, how often? Okay. 98 out of 100 times you're fine with it.
Let me ask you this question.
I think I'm doing a pretty good job.
All right, but let me ask this question. If everybody speaks and they say, we all agree no bell.
Right.
Once, then the steward of the bell doesn't ring it.
If the conversation's had in the 6 o'clock hour, we say no bell,
right,
and it gets rung, and that conversation's had. Then at 7 o'clock, it gets rung again.
Right.
And then at 8 o'clock, it gets rung again. Then at 9 o'clock, it gets rung again. What do you do in that situation?
How many times should you let somebody drunk drive, B?
You recognize that Meg White continues to be so hot that she needs a bell, regardless of how wrong and blind you guys are. That's what you do.
This is the kind of behavior I'm talking about.
Look.
Yeah.
We're going to have to take action.
If a guy you work with at the office continues to not bathe, if the odor is so bad to the people in the cubicle next to him,
right,
and you keep asking him, take care of it, how long before you move him to another branch? That's all I'm saying.
Let's so move him to another branch.
Am I being moved to the AM? What's going on?
I hope. Yes. You're going to work with Carson. Carson needs a sidekick. And you're over there. I think Psycho Mike would be a good bell steward.
Yeah. I think I do too.
I think I trust his taste implicitly when it comes to the fairer sex.
It's the only thing I know.
That's true. It's truly the only thing he
but
does
But that's
know.
Not the point. The point is, I think he would be willing to go with the team regardless if he disagrees. That's the key to the bell.
A lot
bell.
More dudes getting the bell rung if Mike's running it, though.
That's true.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, but a lot less senior citizen broads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, we'll have to discuss this another time.
And corpse brides. A lot less corpse brides will be getting the bell, that's for sure. I'm Ralph Garn. I walk the showbiz.
Congratulations, by the way, to Andrea Zavala, who won tickets for both nights of the Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert. Keep listening. Your chance to win. The shows are, of course, this weekend. Ralph, you ready?
I am always ready to talk to this gentleman.
In one moment, we'll come face to face with the moment of truth.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Adam West, back on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, Mr. West?
Thank you. Is that my favorite film critic?
It is, sir.
Ralph Garman.
Buddy?
Kevin and Bean. Oh, it's so good to talk to you guys. I was getting very depressed. I thought I might have to buy a light machine.
Because of the dark
depression, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Because it gets dark early these days, and that makes people sad, Kevin. So you're in our neighborhood, I guess. You're in Los Angeles for a very rare art appearance tonight at the David Streets Fine Arts Gallery, Santa Monica Boulevard, Beverly Hills. This is a facet of your life that I think maybe a lot of people are not familiar with. Mr. West, what's going on with this?
I don't think there are more than three people familiar with this. Nobody's wanted to see my work.
That's not true. You had a big art show in Palm Springs. It was a big hit.
Well, I did, yeah.
Yeah.
But I haven't done anything since, and I have maybe 40 new paintings that I guess you call expressionistic, if you want to use a fancy term. And tonight at the David Streets Gallery, we have a showing. And what they are, really, they're my feelings about all the characters on Batman over the years and the show itself and pop culture and on and on. And it's all done in oil paintings, mixed media drawings, and very reasonably priced.
That's the cool thing for Batman fans is that if you're a fan of the show and Adams, you get to see him painting the Bookworm, for example, or King Tut, or Mad Hatter, or the Joker, or Green Hornet, or any of this kind of stuff. And it's a great way to have a collectible piece from the show from the man himself.
That's a one-of-a-kind item, yeah.
Well, the nice thing is that they're telling me they're brilliant.
All right. Well, of course.
Who's telling you?
I don't know. Go ahead.
I want the name of the person
who's
who said
telling
that?
You that, Adam.
Well, there was a guy when I was carrying him in.
Just on the street?
He had a broom.
Okay.
He now, said, how much are they?
We've talked to other people throughout the years on this program, Mr. West. Tony Bennett comes to mind as one example of a guy who is equally as committed to his painting as he is to his music. And, of course, you've been an actor for 60 years or something like that. But is painting something you fell in love with as a young man, or is this something you came to much, much later in life that's been more of a hobby for you?
I've been painting for about 45 years.
Wow.
In fact, this collection of pictures is really to honor Batman's 45th anniversary.
Right. I see. And how would you rate your talent? Do you think you are very good?
That's not enough.
That's not a high enough rating?
That's right. You're excellent?
The best ever?
What is something more pretentious?
More pretentious?
You kick Michelangelo's ass?
You know, I'm really hot on his ass.
I don't think that's the same thing.
Literally.
It's not the same thing.
I know what he was doing when he was painting that ceiling.
That's right. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Why is Adam West the best? All right, let me give out the information again. David Street's Fine Art Gallery, which is at 9407 South Santa Monica Boulevard. It is in Beverly Hills, and it is going to be tonight. Now, as I understand correctly, you and your old friend Julie Newmar, the original Catwoman, are going to be there. And the original Batmobile is also going to be parked out front. All that's happening tonight. Am I right?
Yeah, they're both splendid. You know, curious stirrings of my utility belt.
Adam, the show's going to be there for a while, right? So people can go down and see it for the next month or so?
Yes, for 1 month.
Yeah.
Well, fantastic.
I definitely plan on making a purchase because, as you know, I've got a big collection, Adam, but I don't have any of your work, so I'm going to go down and pick something out.
You're probably the world's outstanding collector.
Yeah.
And bring your money, Ralph.
I will bring my checkbook, sir.
And before we say goodbye, I also want to add this. Ralph and I have brought this up a couple of different times on the air, but if you had not been able to find the Batman TV show on your TV because it had been off syndication for a little bit, it is back on the Hub channel, and it is on every single night. I think they're playing two episodes a night. It's so great. I've been going back and watching them all from the beginning, Adam. It's been so much fun to go back and see them all again because, you know, most of us were out here, we can't get it on DVD, so we're kind of at the mercy of when they air on TV. So it's awesome that they picked it up again.
I know, but you can't get my new DVD, Adam West Naked.
Yeah, that's what you do. You buy the Adam West Naked, which is Adam doing, talking about all of the episodes.
Oh, okay.
20 episodes. Right, okay. I reveal all.
So you watch the shows, and then you watch Adam's commentary about them afterwards back to back, and it gives you the full experience.
It makes a wonderful weekend.
It sounds like a perfect holiday gift.
Go to adamwest.com to keep up with everything going on. And again, tonight, David Street Fine Art Gallery in Beverly Hills starting at 7 o'clock. Mr. West, we probably won't talk to you again. Have a wonderful holiday season. We'll look forward to catching up with you again early in 2011.
You, Mr. Zhu, thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
Listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 9:37.
As bad as this show business report is going to be, wait till you hear what we sound like on Monday after two nights of the Almost Acoustic Christmas shows this weekend.
How dare you, sir?
I'm just saying. We get to be pretty rough by the middle of December every year. That's my point. But let's see what we got. Go ahead, Ralph.
There is a giddiness that's going on throughout the hallways and in the office.
Yeah.
Everyone has sort of short-timer's disease right now.
Right.
Everyone's
right.
A little goofy.
A little punchy.
A little lackadaisical. A little sloppy with the work because everyone's just with it. Because this is the hump for us.
Yeah.
Once we get past the big concert weekend, we got a couple more shows, and then it's Christmas vacation time. So
this is last day of school, and it's around 1:30, 2 o'clock or something like that. We're just sitting there just watching the clock, waiting for the bell to ring.
Hard to concentrate. Well, congratulations to Kesha.
Bob. Nope.
Kevin's favorite artist.
No.
Billboard magazine has just announced that the number one song for 2010 is Tick Tock. She's also,
nope,
also Billboard's top new act. According to Billboard magazine.
No. Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Hell no. 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 I refuse. No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Top album of the year, Kevin?
She's talentless, right, Kesha?
Yeah, she is devoid of talent.
Yeah, I think that's all in the production. I think it was produced.
Even the production is
I don't know.
You can't
how
save
do I
it
know?
In any way.
Listen, I hate her, but the hook was catchy enough that it caught on and it was monster.
Yeah.
It's hard to argue
the
success.
The Macarena.
I know. It's hard to argue with the success, but I hate her.
Top album of the year, Kevin. What do you guess? What do you guess top album?
Wow. I sure hope
top
it was.
Album of the year.
What?
Gaga?
Was,
not
yeah,
Gaga.
She
Gaga?
Was top artist. She was the best artist of the year. Kesha was new
she
artist.
She had something like 8 top 10 singles or something this year. It's a crazy year for her.
That whore Taylor Swift was right behind her. Second place.
Oh, really? Record of the year?
Eminem, then Lady Antebellum for artists. But what do you think the top album of the year was?
I'm going to say Eminem. I'm going to say that was the biggest
wrong.
Album of the year.
Oh, so wrong. Your head's going to explode, Kevin.
Tell me. This is someone I hate, then.
Justin Bieber.
And that's not Justin Bieber.
Susan Boyle.
Where's Susan Boyle? I Dreamed a Dream. Her debut album was the top album of the year.
No.
Really?
No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
What I just said.
No.
Yes.
No. No.
Susan
no.
Boyle. Susan Boyle.
Hell no.
I Dreamed
no.
a Dream. The
no.
Top album.
I refuse. No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Overruled.
No!
I agree with that, boo.
More music news. Finally, Jim Morrison can rest easily. Lead singer of The Doors. He was officially pardoned yesterday by the state of California.
What?
For pulling his junk out on stage in 1969 and exposing himself during a concert in Miami.
Wait. Are all the other problems solved that we're down to that one?
Apparently Florida is problem-free. They finally got around to pardoning Jim Morrison of The Doors.
In California?
An official pardon. No, Florida.
Oh, I thought you said California.
No.
But it doesn't matter. Whichever state it was.
Florida.
It was in 1969.
Governor Charlie Crist pardoned Jim Morrison for his arrest and conviction of indecent exposure when he exposed himself during a concert in Miami,
and
Florida.
And people say government moves slowly.
That's right. Finally. Morrison could not be reached for comment. However, his representative said he is he's feeling good and was very pleased.
So in terms of this controversy with Jim Morrison, Ralph, would you say that this is the end?
Oh.
Market.
Man.
Hello?
Market.
Is this thing on?
Unfortunately.
Oh, you.
I got to tell you.
I know.
People are strange. You never know what they're going to come up with. You know what I'm saying? You never know what they're going to say when they're on the air. It's just, it's never ceases to amaze me.
Well done, Ralph. Well done.
Oh, come on. Those kinds of jokes aren't helping.
Thanks for having my back, man.
No problem. And
you're both going in the file.
Jennifer,
as a team.
Jennifer Lopez was talking to Barbara Walters a couple years ago and said she really had a problem with being called J-Lo. She hated that nickname.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought that came from her.
And it didn't.
Oh. Hmm.
She said, I miss being called Jennifer. But in a recent interview she just did for the upcoming season of American Idol, where she would be the host, she said J-Lo is fine now with J-Lo. She's been called for that for so long that she has no problem with it, and she responds to the nickname and has grown to love it.
That is a great, great story.
I was just glad that I had a chance to fit it in, because I know this is the last showbiz of the day, you know, and I always try to get as much information as I can into the showbiz beat.
And a lot of times you're running late.
Right, so it's
a lot
just,
of stuff going on with
hard,
the celebrities.
It's hard for me sometimes to fit in all the stories I would like to fit in, and sometimes, you know, things get, you know, a story will run long, or else we'll go off on a tangent, and we'll have another conversation.
You have to say, like, oh, I'll do that next hour.
Right, because, oh, damn, I'm out of time, so I was surprised, actually, that this story made it into the showbiz beat, but then it struck me as I was reading it.
Yeah.
That when it comes to a story about Jennifer Lopez,
yes,
there's always room for J-Lo. Oh, sweet, sweet J-Lo.
Oh, I get it now. That's funny. But seriously, I hate you, and I hope you get hit by a truck.
Oh, come on. Jessica Simpson's got to sign a prenup with her fiancé, Eric Johnson.
Yeah, Eric.
This is shocking. A, that someone would marry her, but B, this is shocking.
Turns out when she got divorced from Nick Lachey, she lost a big chunk of money because they did not have a prenup. So apparently there will be one in place when Eric and Jessica get married. Turns out she's got a lot to protect. I had no idea until I read this story that the Jessica Simpson Collection, which is her celebrity fashion line, is the most successful celebrity fashion line of all time.
Did anyone
think about who has a fashion line? Jennifer Lopez has one. Mm-hmm. Madonna, Gwen Stefani, Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen, Victoria Beckham. Right. They all have their own lines.
Seems
of stuff.
Like the, you know, all the celebrities that are female, seems like they try to come out with a clothing line because it's the cash cow. But she's better than all of them?
It will be the first ever celebrity fashion line to earn more than $1 billion in retail sales. Considering this year alone, the Jessica Simpson Collection brought in $750 million in retail sales.
No way. Not ever.
This includes swimwear, dresses, outerwear, watches, fragrances, jeans.
In 1 year?
In 1 year, it made $750 million in retail sales. Jennifer's cut of that will be a little over $100 million. And when you listen to that, you can tell she is a style icon and just every bit the model of the genteel young lady. So many
that's
want to emulate.
Shocking to me.
Yeah, me too. She's stinking rich. Her net worth is estimated to be about $500 million.
I would have thought she was almost broke.
You wouldn't you?
Yes.
Because
her
music
career.
She can't sell a concert out and no one buys her records.
Wow.
Right. It's rare that an NFL player dates a woman who's worth so much more than he is.
Yeah. He's dating her for the money.
Wow.
But there will be a price to pay.
Yeah.
Being married to her. Not only did you have to listen to her, but she was talking to Life and Style Weekly magazine about the plans for their wedding, and she said she wants to have a down-home Southern wedding with lots of Texas food, barbecue, fried steak, casseroles, and several kinds of gravy. You can't have just one kind of gravy, you know. You gotta. I like the weddings that have the gravy buffet, where you can go up and, you know, choose from a wide variety of gravies.
Sure. She does everything but invite Jeff Foxworthy to the wedding when she says that, doesn't she?
She really does.
I hope they're adding a weight portion to the prenup. I really.
Yeah, there should be some sort of cap. Some sort of LB cap that she can't go past. Or
the
else
wedding is null and void.
A certain amount of money.
Yeah.
You know, they always have it built in the prenup. You just stay with them for, you know, 2 years, you get X dollars, 5 years, you get X amount. She should. There should be some weight clause in that prenup.
$1 million for every 20 pounds.
That's right. Eric Johnson was wise. That's what he would do. And Justin Bieber's got problems. He's got 99 problems.
A bitch ain't one.
The bitch is not one.
Put that in the file as well.
Apparently.
Not even trying.
Girls trying to sneak into his hotel are taking it upon themselves to hide in trash dumpsters to avoid security. And it's not good.
Well, I'm guessing
for the girls or for the hotels.
Doesn't make them attractive.
Imagine meeting another girl after she's been in the dumpster for a couple hours. He said he used to check in under the fake name Chuck Norris. That was his alias when he checked into a hotel. He said, but the girls are wise to that now, so he has to pick a new one.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is Chuck Norris, like Kevin is Bean.
How dare you?
I'm saying they're not much alike at
okay.
all.
That's okay, I didn't understand that, so I said, how dare you?
I was lost on you, that analogy. My... And Prince is very serious about his privacy. Well, you can tell by the way he dresses that he doesn't want to cause it, draw any attraction to himself.
Right, sure.
Recently, he went to a screening of The Black Swan, and a guest said he snuck into the back of the theater, showed up 20 minutes late to avoid attracting any attention. But he was wearing sunglasses and enormously high heels. Yeah. The guy dresses like someone out of Marie Antoinette's court.
He really does.
And he wants to avoid anyone looking at him. So,
did you see him show up completely unannounced on The View yesterday? He just walked out on stage under The View?
No, but
what
you know why?
Makes you think that I would ever see anything that ever happened on The View?
Do you know why we didn't see that?
Because you don't like to stay current.
Because we don't watch The View.
I wasn't watching The View either.
But
then it became newsworthy because Prince showed up unannounced and walked out on stage.
You
and
liar!
Chatted with the ladies for a couple of minutes and then left. He was promoting his Madison Square Garden shows.
You watch The View. You watch The View.
I just thought it was, you know, I don't picture him doing wacky, impulsive things. That's why it was a surprise, I think, that he showed up. He didn't do very many interviews either.
Well, he doesn't seem wacky, no, if that's your...
Right. That's the only reason I bring it up.
That's your point.
He is the Jerry Lewis of music. He really is. He's the Jim Carrey of Minneapolis. Oh, poor David Hasselhoff. It's hard enough that you're the Hoff.
Yeah. You got that going for you.
You got that going for you. And you right. said, look, I got nothing going on. Maybe, look, everybody, the worst people in the world can do a reality show and make a success of it. Right?
It seems like they give them out
to clowns yes. in the world, do a reality show, get several seasons out of it, make bank. The Jersey Shore cast is worth millions now.
This is a mess.
So the Hoff had to figure, all right, this is sweet, easy money for me.
Sure.
This is falling off the log, which he's done on several occasions, by the way, when he's been drinking.
That's true.
Not so much. A&E has announced today they are canceling the Hasselhoff's, his new reality show, after just 2 episodes.
That's sad. So he's not going to... Wait, do they have more?
They shot 10.
They shot 10?
They've got 8 in the can.
They're going to burn them off?
They're just going to burn them. Not going to burn them off. They're just lighting a bonfire in the offices of E! And throwing them off.
Almost all TV networks will at least like take a Saturday night or something.
You've got it.
Yeah, just air it once.
No, we shan't see those episodes.
Wow.
Which in retrospect maybe is a good thing.
That was a terrible show.
And we're a bunch of Glee fans around here. This is exciting news. Diana Agron, who plays Quinn, the hot blonde cheerleader on that show.
Yes.
She says she is lobbying with producers to get her choice for a guest star on Glee. You know, they've had a ton of guest stars, especially this season. It seems like every episode has a special guest star.
Right.
Diana wants Christopher Walken to be a guest star on Glee.
Oh, he's quite the dancer, at least. I don't know about his singing.
He has been a song and dance man for many, many years, and she's a huge fan, and so she is trying to get Chris and producers to talk to create a role for him. She says she has an ideal role in mind, and she'd like to see him do the show.
Remember the music video for Fatboy Slim?
Remember him dancing all over that hotel? Yeah, it was amazing.
I have a clip.
All right.
That's a great clip to show his dancing to our listeners. Thank you, Kevin. It was a stretch.
Kevin.
Worth it.
When you play clips like that, it makes me want to put it in your ass.
Oh, no.
For five what? Years.
Let's not do that.
Oh, you're talking about a watch or something, right?
Or something.
Okay. I hope.
Not a fan of your work. You're bad.
A lot of people aren't.
On so many levels.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Michael Clark Duncan is 53 years old today. Kenneth Branagh is 50. Meg White of the White Stripes is 36 years old today.
Thank you.
Maybe. Maybe you can teach an old dog new tricks. That? How about that? Emmanuel Shariki celebrates her 33rd birthday. And actress Raven Simone is 25 years old today. She wasn't Rudy. She was a little girl they added after Rudy started getting too old to be cute.
Oh, wait, you're right.
Yeah, she
Rudy was.
Rudy
was who? Keisha Knight Pulliam.
Keisha Knight Pulliam, yeah.
This is helpful. Thank you, Mike.
Is this an interesting conversation?
It's airtight.
It is airtight. Our show is airtight. That's what I always say. We have an airtight show. Airtight.
It
our
is.
Show.
If there's
our
one
show
word.
Is airtight.
If there's one word.
We
summarize.
Don't have time. We don't have time.
We do.
We
have time for a 2-second clip.
We do.
Say goodbye, Ralph.
28 seconds.
Airtight. Airtight. Airtight.
It's ain't worth it.
No use, problem. It's too thick.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk this show, Ms. Pete.
We'll see you at the shows this weekend. Monday, we have Kathy Griffin in studio. We have Seth Green in studio.
And by the way, congratulations to our Naked with Grandma winner. The pictures are up at KevinAbean.com if you want to check it out.
Too. Don't bogart that joint. My friend, pass it over to me.
Horrible. Airtight.
Horrible. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I will have sex with you.
Roll another one.
That's a genius idea.
Just like the other one.
You sound like an unbelievable bitch.
This one seems to be a problem.
Music star, Falco.
I need another hand.
Good morning. Good morning. Fabulous. Outstanding. Wonderful. Terrific. Good morning. Yeah. Good morning.
Roll.
Roll.
We can all just get along.
I don't want to start that joint.
I like eggs. Do you like?
Let's pass it around.
Who's your whore? Who's your whore?
I don't want to start that joint, my friend.
Well, that's very nice.
Let's pass it on down. Pass it on down.
Thank you, rock and rollers. I just want to say how thrilled everybody is backstage with the way you've received our show.
So you can all go home and there's nothing to worry about. Get out of here now. Go on. Go on home and go home.
I can't do this. I'm out. I'm done. I'm leaving. I don't want to do this. I'm leaving. I'm not doing it. No, I'm out!
Well, that's our show. Thank you, Stephen King. We'll see you in court.
I'm Mark Thompson. Assalamu alaikum.